Krishna. श्रीराधा कृष्णपदां सहगणललितां श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्ण करुणा सिन्धु दीनबन्धो जगल्पदे गोपेश गोपिका कांद राधा कांद नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरे प्रिये वाञ्छकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे ॐ पार्थाय प्रतिबोधितं भगवतं नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराणमुनिनां मध्ये महाभारतम् अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणीं भगवतीं अष्टादशाध्यायिनीम् अम्ब त्वामनुसन्धनामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणीं नमोऽस्तु ते व्यासविशालबुद्धे फुल्लारविन्दायतपत्रनेत्र येन त्वया भारततैलपूर्णं प्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमयप्रदीप प्रपन्नपारिजाताय स्तोत्रवेत्रैकपाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुहे नमः सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दुग्धा गोपालनन्दन पार्थो वत्स सुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महत् वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसजानूरमर्दनं देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं भीष्मद्रोणतटा जयध्रदजला गान्धारनीलोल्पला शल्यग्राहवती कृपेण वहनी कर्णेन वेलाकुला अश्वत्थामाभिकर्णघोरमकर दुर्योधनावर्तिनी सोत्तीर्ण खलु पाण्डवैरण नदी कैवर्तक केशवा पाराशर्यवजः सरोजममलं गीतार्थगन्धोत्कटं नानाख्यानकेसरं हरिकथा सम्बोधनाभोदितं लोकैः सज्जनशल्पदैर्हरः पेपीयमानं मुदा भूयाद्भारतपङ्कजकलिमल प्रध्वंसिन श्रेयसे मोघं करोति वाचालं पङ्गं लङ्घयति गिरिं यल्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवं यं ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्ररुद्रमरुद स्वन्वन्दि दिव्यैः सवै वेदैः साङ्गपदैः क्रमोपनिषदैर्गायन्ति यं समगाः ध्यानावस्थिततद्गदेन मनसा पश्यन्ति यं योगिनो यस्यान्दं न विदुःसुरासुरगणैः देवाय तस्मै नमः ॐ श्रीकृष्णाय नमः श्रीमति राधिकाय नमः सर्वत्र गोविन्दनाम सङ्कीर्तनं गोविन्द गोविन्द
Last Sunday, we were discussing from Bhagavad Gita. We were discussing from Bhagavad Gita, 18th chapter, where Krishna was talking to Arjuna about the certain aspects of knowledge in relationship with one who has perfected his karma. Isn't it? One who has perfected his karma. One who has perfected his karma. So that was called as Naishkarma Siddhi. Naishkarma Siddhi means one who has developed karma yogam to such an extent he has perfected it. That is Naishkarma Siddhi. We have spoken about that, and in the three verses continuously, 51, 52 and 53, in three verses Krishna spoke about the how such a person should live. That means from karmam, how one moves on to knowledge, from to jnanam. That's what he is talking about there in those three verses, 51, 52 and 53. So Krishna said there few things. Then Krishna says, buddhya vishuddhaya yukto dhrityalmanam niyamyacha shabdadin vishayam tektva ragadvesho vyadasyucha vivittasevi leghvashi gadavakaya manasa vimuchyan dhyana yoga paryo nityam vairagyam samubhashadaha. Then ahangaram belam darpam kamam krodham parigraham vimuchya narmam ashando brahma bhuyaya kalpade. So after one has reached that perfectional stage of Naishkarma Siddhi, Krishna says this is how he should execute further from there. He cannot stop there. People have some understanding sometimes that, oh, I have been executing Karma Yoga all my life, but that is not good enough. You may have executed Karma Yoga, but unless it has brought forward to the proper understanding of Krishna consciousness and ultimately, eventually culminating in pure devotion to Krishna, Krishna Supreme Personality of Godhead, this knowledge and this karma is all a waste unless it is perfected in that. So Krishna says here in the Bhagavad Gita that from this position of Naishkarma Siddhi, one should move on to this position of knowledge, what is discussed in these three verses, and how such a person will execute his life. That is what is spoken there. And there you have seen Krishna used that word Dhyana Yoga Paronityam. Dhyana Yoga Paronityam means whose mind is always in transcendental consciousness, in spiritual consciousness. That is Dhyana Yoga Paronityam. That means he is not anymore, because by executing Karma Yoga to such a nice perfectional stage, he has become purer in his karma. But because of that purity, his knowledge is also now building up, and naturally his consciousness has changed. His consciousness has changed. That's what it is said here. Dhyana Yoga Paronityam. Krishna says, this Dhyana Yoga nature is what is expected from a person who wants to advance in spiritual life. Dhyana Yoga nature. Thoughtful person. One who is always thinking about Krishna and one who is thinking about advancing in Krishna consciousness. This is the nature of a person engaged in Dhyana Yoga. That is what is referring to. Dhyana Yoga Paronityam Vairagyam Samubhashridaha. And the result of that was that he will have a high degree of detachment from this world, from the material world, because he knows that the material world cannot offer him much help in his spiritual life. Therefore, he has to reject what is not required for his spiritual life. So, after saying that, Krishna says, Ahangaram velam darpam kamam krodham parigraham vimuchya nurmama shando brahma bhuyaya kalpade. After he is freed himself from ahangaram, balam, darpam, kamam, krodham, parigraham, then he releases himself, vimuchyaha, he gets freed from that, nurmama, the result of that is he becomes detached, nurmama. Mamada means attachment to things, that I am the doer and I am the enjoyer. That mood goes away from him. He does only things what is required, and that too as an offering to Krishna, nurmama. This word nirmama, Krishna is very fond of using that. In Bhagavadam also you will find many instances Krishna says the word nirmama. Vimuchya nirmama shando brahma bhuyaya kalpade. And he becomes peaceful within himself. Peaceful within himself. And when he becomes peaceful within himself, brahma bhuyaya kalpade, he is brahmam himself. He has become Brahman. In other words, he has realized Brahman to such a degree that he does not feel any need for anything from this world to make him happy. People, why do people work so hard in this world to become happy at the end, isn't it? That's why they are working. Everybody is working in this world to become happy. And unfortunately, people have taken that the happiness is coming from outside. And when we take it like that, we have to work hard. But at one point, when one has perfected this yoga system of karma and jnanam, he will realize it, that happiness does not come from outside, rather it is something within inside one has to find himself. And that is where this Krishna is talking about this situation. Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpade. He comes to the Brahman realization stage. He comes to Brahman realization stage. So, these three verses, Krishna has spoken relationship to someone who has come to Naishkarma Siddhi. First, he has executed Karma Yoga. and he has followed the principles of Karma Yoga properly, which is that, what is the principles of Karma Yoga? If you remember, the four sutram, Karma Chatur Sutram it's called, four Karma Yoga. The fourth, Karmani Vadhigarase, first one, Ma Balyushu Kadajana, second one, Ma Karma Balahe Durbur, third one, Madho Sangostha Karmani, the fourth one. This is the four principles of Karma Yoga. Krishna has spoken about that in the second chapter. We have discussed that while we talk about second chapter. So those four principles, when one executes seriously, he becomes a Karma Yogi. And from that Karma Yogam, when it is executed for some time, Naishkarma Siddhi develops in a person. And when he has come to that Naishkarma Siddhi, he is eligible to go further from there and come to this Brahmabhuda platform. Brahmabhuda platform. And when he, before he reaches there, he will develop these qualities, what is mentioned in these three verses. So that is that progress. And then, after that, these words here, Krishna has used here, Dhyana Yoga Paronityam Vairagyam Samupashridaha. This is something anyone who comes to spiritual path must have, these qualities. Otherwise, simply working hard, day and night, is not the answer for spiritual life. This is not what's going to take somebody to spiritual advance. That Dhyana Yoga Paronityam Vairagyam Samupashridaha. Krishna has summarized everything in that. A person's attitude in towards this world will be like that. Dhyana Yoga Paronityam and Vairagyam Samupashridaha. He will see everything in relationship with others also in this world. He is a thoughtful person. He is considerate to others. Not dictate things to the world. He does not dictate things to the world. Rather, he accepts the situation in this world as it is. He accepts that and tolerates the other discomforts or inconveniences in this world. That's the nature of a person who follows that process. Dhyana Yoga Paronityam Vairagyam Samupashridaha. In fact, if you look into other Upanishads and all that, you will find there that this mood of Dhyana Yogam was there very much among the people's mind. And therefore, they did not experience such great difficulty in their life. Dhyana Yoga Paronityam, what Krishna says here, it comes by our own internal culture of Krishna consciousness. That is where it builds up. When there is no Krishna consciousness, we will blame everyone else in this world for our own weaknesses. And we will start thinking that this fault is somebody else's. But this understanding of Krishna consciousness, what Krishna says here, is necessary for somebody who wants to progress in spiritual life. Dhyana Yoga Paronityam Vairagyam Sobhashadaha. His attachment to the world is very minimum, so he is not disturbed by many things. And also, as I mentioned before, many of the discussions in the Upanishads and Puranas and all, you will find it's always a discussion between either a husband and wife, or father and children, or between two godbrothers. They discuss each other. Why do they discuss it like that? That is how it's presented. It was not that some sannyasis were going around and telling everybody this is the philosophy. No. It was discussed at home and most of the houses. The discussion was centered around these principles of spiritual life. That's what they discussed. And therefore, there was able to understand each other, the family members also, between husband, wife and the children. They discussed spiritual life. They did not discuss anything else. So because they had that concept of spiritual life in their day-to-day living, therefore they were able to tolerate each other and they had no misconception about things. Unfortunately, in the modern world, such a discussion never happens at any home these days. Any home in these days. The family sees the father as a supplier for their material necessities. The children think this is the time to enjoy, so let me utilize this time for enjoyment, sense enjoyment. And in this way, because the family life is centered around sense gratification rather than spiritual goals, therefore there is so much uneasiness also in the family structure. So Krishna is, this situation didn't exist in the past. In many times you will see in the Upanishads times how the members of the family talked about spiritual activities. And their knowledge was based on these things. Therefore, there was no conflict in their heart. And this Dhyana Yoga nature, Dhyana Yoga Paronityam, what Krishna says is absolutely necessary for one who wants to advance on the spiritual path. Anyway, After that, Krishna talks about ahankaram, balam, darpam, kamam, krodham, parigraham, vimuchya, narmama, shando, brahmabhuyaya, kalpade. In fact, one who has come to that brahmabhuyaya kalpade platform, it will be difficult for him to separate himself from spiritual advancement, from spiritual life. It will be difficult for him to come out of it. Most of us, we say, we are in Maya most of the time, and if we come to spiritual life sometime in a day, we consider it as a success, isn't it? But for these personalities, the other way. Most of the time, they are in spiritual consciousness. If ever they come to some material consciousness, you have to consider that it's a very, very rare thing. Very, very rare thing. So, that's another important point Krishna is making here. If a person has come to that platform, what will happen to him? That is the next verse. Brahma bhuda prasannalpa na shochati na kamkshati sama sarveshu bhudeshu madbhaktim labhate param. Krishna says, Brahma bhuda prasannalpa na shochati na kamkshati. What is importance there? Brahma bhuda prasannalpa. When one has come to the Brahma bhuda platform, his consciousness will be such, prasannalpa. Prasannalpa means he is not desiring anything. He is satisfied within himself. He is satisfied within himself. Why does he not desire anymore anything? Na shochadi, na kangshadi. He is not lamenting about anything, nor is he desiring anything. This is the principle of the Brahma Buddha state. Brahma Buddha consciousness, or one who has realized Brahman in that way, Brahma Buddha prasannalpa, his nature is na shochadi, na kangshadi. He is not desiring anything. He is not lamenting about anything. That is what Krishna is saying here. That samasarveshu bhudeshu malbhaktim labhate param. Unfortunately, what Krishna is pointing out here is that all of us are looking for happiness. But the person who has realized Brahman, what is his attitude? His attitude is, we normal conditioned souls looks for happiness in different material objects. Isn't it? Different material objects. We have this perception that by acquiring that particular material object or material position or something in this material world, we will become happy. We will become happy. But we don't become happy because we are looking for this happiness. What Krishna is talking about, it comes from the soul. Comes from the soul. So that happiness will only come when we inquire about the soul. When the inquiry starts after the soul, and when the understanding comes to the spiritual level, or about the inquiry about the soul, only then that happiness will come to us. It won't come from the material objects. That's the point Krishna is making here. Brahma bhuda prasannalpa na shochati na kangshati. He does not require, because he has understood that I don't have to look for that outside, that happiness outside. He has already come to that understanding. Therefore, he is prasannalpa. Therefore, he is prasannalpa. He is not disturbed by anything. Most people in this world, their happiness is in the material happiness. That is what they consider it as happiness. And that then develops into our way of religion also, isn't it? Way of religion also. When we approach Krishna, people approach Krishna with all kinds of desires. All kinds of desires. And they offer something to Krishna in expecting some return from that, isn't it? Some return from that. What Krishna is saying here is that when somebody approaches Krishna with some material desire, obviously that person thinks the material desire is more important than Krishna, isn't it? That is why he is asking for the material desires from Krishna. So when it is like that, this consciousness will not develop. Brahma Bhuta Prasannalpa, that stage won't come. Because it's full of desires that is inside. So through knowledge, what Krishna, if one has understood Bhagavad Gita properly and studied properly, he will know that this is not what Krishna is expecting from us. Krishna's expectation from the devotee is different. He is expecting that this to stop this inquiry for happiness from objects, from material life. That's the first thing to be given up. So all what has happened is, he has not changed anything. What he has come to understand is, he has got this discrimination clear in his mind. His discrimination is very, very clear. He is clear in his head now that I am looking for happiness at the wrong place. As soon as that discrimination comes, then he will stop that activity. till the point when that discrimination has not come, their inquiry will continue in this world for happiness. Many people have this understanding that if I have a comfortable material life, I'll have some spiritual life along with it. This is most of the thoughts behind it, isn't it? That's how people think about material life and spiritual life. He says, oh, I can't give up anything. If I give up this life, I lose all my everything. And my happiness, I have to be centered around my happiness in the family. I have to be centered around the community. I have so many other attachments to the world. And they want spiritual life also. Krishna is not talking about that spiritual life here. That is our mentally concocted spiritual life. There's nothing to do with Bhagavad Gita. Krishna's Bhagavad Gita is saying to us that Brahma Bhuta Prasannalpa Na Shaujadi Na Kangshadi. Na Shaujadi and Na Kangshadi, they are the two important words there. Because unless one has come to that platform, Krishna says you cannot experience the happiness of Brahman, Brahman realization. Brahman realization, you cannot experience that. That's what very clear-cut answer to that. So long as we are situated on the material platform of enjoyment, of achieving material benefits and material happiness in this world, our spiritual life will stay there, where it is. We can do so many things in this world, but it will not bring the proper understanding of Krishna consciousness. So, Brahma Bhuta Prasannalpa. What has happened to that person is, he has got to understand this and proper discrimination has come to him. He is able to discriminate that my happiness is not coming from this world. This is his first discrimination. My happiness is not coming from this external world. My happiness is within myself, which is realizing myself that I am spirit soul. I am spirit soul. Unless that realization comes, the happiness is not going to come. We will keep on searching everywhere for happiness and ultimately we will get frustrated with it. So, Krishna says here, once you have come to that understanding, the inquiry will stop outside. That inquiry will stop outside when we realize that we are Brahman, we are part and parcel of Krishna, or our identity is spiritual nature. So, and such a person, Krishna says, sama sarveshu bhudeshu, because when he comes to that platform, his nature will be sama sarveshu bhudeshu. For him, all the living entities in this world are equal. Krishna's creation is like that on a material, on a bodily level, none of us are equal. None of us are equal. So, in other words, forget about in the creation we have 8.4 million different species of life, isn't it? 8.4 million different species of life. Not one species is equal to the another species. They are all different out of this 8.4 million. Again, in that, even if you take the human society, no two people are the same. Even if they are twins, they are born at the same time. Their consciousness is different. So never you will find that two living entities from the same species is not even the same. Why is it like that? Because that's how Krishna wanted it. So when we try in this world to bring equality between living entities, even among the human society, we are trying to bring equality, it will not work because of this reason. Because by the very fact that Krishna has created all of us different according to our karma and according to our vasanas, we have got this different material body. And therefore, the result also has to be different. There's nothing we can do about it. Most of the times, because there is no proper understanding of these things, and they don't accept Bhagavad Gita's authority, and they do not believe in the karma, they do not believe in the vasanas behind us, they think that all of us have to be equal in this world. That's not possible. It's not possible at any circumstances. But Krishna is saying here that the platform in which all living entities are equal is only when you accept them as spirit soul. On that spiritual level, we are all equal. Everybody, every living entity who has got life there, it's equal to any other life. There is no difference. So that is the understanding has to come to a person. Such a person, he will be satisfied because he is seeing the truth. Krishna, as far as Krishna is concerned, the truth is not what we talk normally, truth. We say we shouldn't talk lies, isn't it? We say like that. But that is not what Krishna is talking about. As far as Krishna is concerned, all of us are liars. We don't do anything. Why? Because if you see the definition of truth in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna says there, Satyam cha samadarshanam. Only when you see every living entity as equal on a spiritual level, only then you are a truthful person. Up to that time, you are all liars. That's why Krishna says like that. So therefore, from a higher position, from a higher point of view, Krishna is telling us that the proper realization of the truth is when one sees all living entities on an equal level in the spiritual platform. Not on a bodily level, on a spiritual level. In other words, that realization has to be so strong, Brahma-Buddha stage. Such a person can see that. Otherwise, it's not possible. Otherwise, it is not possible. In fact, while in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find Krishna says this to Uddhava, as to ask Krishna, how is that possible to practice this? How to develop this? Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, when you see any other person, for example, some people were enemies in life, whole life, and if you are seeing, want to see Krishna in that person, it's a very, very difficult thing. Whereas, to see him as an enemy is a very easy thing. It's not difficult, isn't it? Throughout life, we practice like that. So, at that time, Krishna says to Uddhava, Pranamam dandavad bhuman ashwa chandala ghokharam. Krishna says, when you see anyone in this world, fall down on the ground and pay your obeisances to them. First thing. That's the first step to do. Praname dandavad bhuman ashwa chandala ghokharam. When any of these categories, chandalan, go, karam, cow or ass or anything, doesn't matter, you pay your obeisances to them. You may think, is this a very strange statement? Isn't it? If I see an ass on the street, I should pay my obeisances to them. You may ask that question. But a point will come in spiritual life. This is what has happened to all the great personalities. In our material conditioned life, our ego will tell us, it was just an ass. Why asses? Even human beings, we lock them up sometimes like that. Isn't it? But these are the obstacles in our spiritual progress. These are all the obstacles in our spiritual progress. Praname dandavad bhuman ashwa chandala ghokharam. Krishna says like this, that when you see a chandala, go, karam, ashwam, doesn't matter who it is. Any living entity, one has to come to that level to recognize that it is a spirit soul and Krishna is present within that body. How many of us see it like that? And then still we all consider very advanced devotees, aren't we? So our advancement is this stage where we are now. When you read these statements in the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, you know where we are. You know where we are. In the many, many instances, and Prabhupada was questioned about various things what he said. He said like this, you should not take offense on this, but this is exactly the words he has used. I am preaching to cats and dogs, he said. I am preaching to cats and dogs, he said. You cannot blame him because he is speaking from Bhagavad Gita and we are in this situation. What can be done? Because we do not recognize this important information or important instruction what Krishna has given in the Bhagavad Gita. We are still judging people and we are all considered to be very highly advanced in knowledge, and as far as our realization is concerned, it is worse than a cat or a dog. So that is how Prabhupada presented it like that. He said in the same thing many instances. So anyway, Brahma Bhuda Prasanna Alma Na Shochadi Na Kankshadi Sama Sarveshu Bhudeshu Mad Bhaktim Libhade Param. Krishna says, when one has come to this stage, then he can talk about bhakti after that, not before that. So where are we? This is why Bhagavad Gita will make us realize where we are. At the moment, we have accepted certain designations in this world. I am a devotee, he is a devotee, so is advanced devotee, he is less advanced devotee. All these kind of false understanding has crept into our mind. But Bhagavad Gita is telling us, if you are a devotee, this is where you should be. This is where you should be. Brahma Bhuda Prasanna, through karmam, one should have come to perfection, karma yogam. You should have developed all these qualities, what Krishna has spoken about in the Jnana Margam. And then after that, Krishna says, Brahma Bhuda Prasannatma Na Shochadi Na Kankshadi Sama Sarveshu Bhudeshu. That is the qualification for a person, Mad Bhaktim Libhade Param. For him, he is qualified to have devotion. So, bhakti is not a thing that we can develop as soon as we want. It only comes by Krishna's grace or Krishna's mercy. When Krishna wants that to happen, it will happen. That bhakti will come. But prior to that, Krishna expects all the other qualities in a person. Otherwise, bhakti is not going to develop. Therefore, it says here, in a person like that, desire, lamentation, anger, and so many fear, such emotions will not disturb him anymore. And he will see all living entities in this world as Krishna's parts and parcels. And he will also relate with those living entities in the same way. And when he practices it like that, at that point, bhakti will come to that person. At that point. So devotion is not a cheap thing. People think that I'm chanting 16 rounds, I must be a pure devotee then. Isn't it? That's how majority of the people have this false conception. That when we come to the process of bhakti is discussed in two places in the Srimad Bhagavatam specifically. One, Kapila Vasudev talks to Devahuti Devi in the third canto, and Krishna talks to Uddhava in the 11th canto, in Ekadasi Skandam. In two places, Krishna talks about bhakti and the importance of developing devotion to Krishna. But how will that devotion happen? And to come to that, is all this process. Krishna is building it up to that point. How to develop that devotion. We have talked about this earlier also in 9th chapter in Rajayogam. And also in Bhakti Yogam, in 12th chapter, we discussed about bhakti. If you read all these chapters in Bhagavad Gita, and if you properly reflect on these chapters, then your perception of bhakti will also change. Your perception of bhakti will also change. And always we have to churn this in our mind. Otherwise, we will be led into wrong understanding of bhakti. Most of the times we think a man who has put dhoti on and kurta on and a tilak on, he must be a devotee then. That's how we see it. It is not that dress Krishna is talking about here. Krishna's definition of bhakti, if you want to know what bhakti means, it is in the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Many, many verses Krishna is talking about who is a bhakta, who is a devotee. And from there you can see to yourself where we are in that process of bhakti. So, having said that, Krishna is saying here that Brahma Bhuda Prasannalpa na shochadi na kankshadi sama sarveshu bhudeshu madbhaktim levade param. In fact, these are simple things sometimes to, if you look at it. See, two people, one person, they are known to each other very well. They are known to each other very well. Say, husband and wife, for example. The husband is in the house, or wife is outside, or wife is in the house, husband is outside. The husband comes home, he knocks at the door. The wife asks from inside, who is that? Husband says, we won't say I'm your husband or anything, would he? You'll say, it's me, he will say, isn't it? So if he has got a doubt who is from inside asking, who is that? He'll say, it's me. So actually it's both me who is talking to each other, isn't it? It's the same me who is talking to each other. He is me and she is also me. So two me's are talking to each other. But they won't say that, but in everyday life this is happening. That in other words, in every living entity, it is Krishna who is present and talking to each other. But we will always ignore, but we have accepted so many different identities, isn't it? And we say we are all different. That is what is called dvandvam. And this dvandvam is the most difficult thing to free oneself from. If you remember Sri Narada Maharshi, in the Bhagavatam you will notice that when he reached the forest to see Krishna, he was looking for Krishna in the forest. Many days he performed his penances and meditation, everything. And after that, once when he saw Krishna, he didn't see Krishna outside. That's most important. Where did he see him? He saw him inside, isn't it? So because he saw him inside, he started experiencing this happiness from inside. He realized that there is no happiness outside, happiness is inside. And there Vedavyasa Maharshi is saying about Sri Narada Maharshi's situation. Na pash ananda samplavo leenam na pashyam upayam mune, Srimad Bhagavatam. Ananda samplavo leena na pashyam upayam mune, Srimad Bhagavatam says like this. What happened to Sri Narada Maharshi? Out of happiness he could not control himself. Ananda samplavo leenam. He was so absorbed in this anandam, spiritual happiness, na pashyam upayam mune. He did not see anymore the dualities of this world. That's what happens to a person. When that spiritual happiness comes to someone, he will come to this understanding, na pashyam upayam mune. There is no duality in this world. Everywhere it is Krishna's parts and parcels. No more bodily identity. No more bodily identity. He is released from that bodily concept of life once for all. And he will see Krishna's presence in every living entity. And that is the realization what Krishna is talking about. And the same thing happened with Dhruva Maharaj also. So in the Bhagavatam, there are so many personalities who has gone through this stage. And when you read them, you can realize it, that what Krishna is talking about here. So, Brahma Bhuta Prasanna Alpa Na Shochadi Na Kankshadi Sama Sarveshu Bhudeshu Madbhaktim Labhade Param. And such a person, Krishna says, he will develop devotion. A person who has come to this stage. So we have a long way to go before we start developing devotion in our heart. At the moment, everything is very polluted with the three modes of material nature. And therefore, Krishna says here that the whole philosophy of Vedic culture is based on this one principle, that we are all different, but we are all on an equal level when we come to spiritual life. On spiritual platform, we are all equal. On a material platform, we are all different. That is the most important thing. On a material platform, we are all different. So, after that verse, Krishna has spoken that. Krishna says another important verses. Bhaktyamam abhijanadi yavanyaschasmi tatvada tadomam tatvado jnatva vishade tadanandaram. Now, Krishna says here, Bhaktyamam abhijanadi yavanyaschasmi tatvada tadomam tatvado jnatva vishade tadanandaram. Krishna says here that such a devotion, when it develops in a person, he will be attracted to what? He will be attracted to Krishna and Krishna's divine pastimes. Nothing else. And, yashasmi tatva. There's a few times Krishna has used words tatvada. In that verse you can see. Bhaktyamam abhijanadi yavan yashasmi tatvata. Tadomam tatvado jnatva vishade tadanandaram. This is an important verse. Why is it important? Because the when we study Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna wants us to understand in Tattvada. Tattvadam not superficially. Just to understand Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita superficially is no good. In fact, Sukadeva Goswami also will mention this in the Srimad Bhagavatam at the very end. After talking to Parikshit for 7 days, Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a comment from Sukadeva Goswami to Parikshit saying that Vijnana Vairagya Vivakshaya Vibho Vajo Vibho Der Nadu Paramarthyam. All these things what I have spoken to you, my dear Parikshit, he says, it was spoken for one purpose. Why? Vijnana Vairagya Vivakshaya Vibho. In order that one can develop vijnanam, knowledge, and vairagyam. That is the goal behind it. Vijnanam and vairagyam. Vijnana vairagya vivakshaya vibho. So, vajo vibho der naduparam arthyam. What is important is, all this in the Bhagavatam, you will find a lot of things Sukadeva Goswami has spoken. The glories of great, great personalities, great, great kings in solar dynasty, in lunar dynasty, and in the different empires, great personalities in the Bhagavatam, you will notice there. So, Krishna has spoken, Sukadeva Goswami has spoken all these things. He says with one purpose only. What is that? To develop knowledge and to develop pronunciation. Vijnana vairagya vivakshaya vibho. That is a goal. So, that is what Krishna says here also, that tattvada is referring to that. That bhaktyamam abhijanadi yavan yaschasmi tattvada. When through devotion, he will start understanding the shastram in tattvadam, in truth, not superficially, in truth. He will understand that. That is the most important point. Because shastram is understood by people in different levels also. Some people just take the stories as they are, and they are satisfied with that. They don't move further from there. Some people study it and do not reflect on it very much. They do not reflect on it very much. But there are other people who reflect on these things and think, why this was spoken like this? Why is it spoken like that? And what is that I have to learn from this? Just like in Bhagavad Gita, if you remember, we discussed from the very beginning, Bhagavad Gita. And in the middle, Prabhupada brought this point to us that Upanishads are talking about us in a different way. What do they say? Almanam rithinam vidhi shariram rathamevaja buddhistu saradim vidhi manapragrahamevaja indriyani hayanyahu vishayanteshu gojaran. What does it mean? It means that we see this fight in Kurukshetram between the Pandavas and the Kauravas. It is not simply a family quarrel that a war developed and Krishna went and encouraged Arjuna to fight and they won the war and everything is over, finished. No, it's not like that. That's why Upanishads are saying like this from a different angle. Almanam rathinam vidhi. This fight between the divine nature in us and the demoniac nature in us is constantly going on throughout this creation and for all times to come. It doesn't finish with 5,000 years with the war in Kurukshetram. That's what that verse was quoted. Prabhupada quoted that in the 6th chapter. Almanam rathinam vidhi shariram ratham evaja. We also have a relationship with Krishna. And in order, Bhagavad Gita was spoken by Krishna for the benefit of the whole human society through Arjuna, keeping Arjuna as a listener and Krishna as a speaker. So Krishna as speaker, Arjuna as listener, Krishna decided to convey the message to the world in that battlefield. Otherwise, why was Vedavyasa Maharshi mentioned all these things in Mahabharatam and presented to the world? If Krishna's intention was just to help Arjuna to fight the battle, Krishna could have helped him without speaking even Bhagavad Gita. It wasn't required. Because Bhagavad Gita was spoken, it was an opportunity where through Arjuna, Krishna wanted to present Bhagavad Gita to this world. Just like Krishna wanted to present Srimad Bhagavatam through Parikshit to this world. That is Krishna's decision. Because great devotees, they are always in Krishna's service for these situations. So anyway, so Krishna decided to present Bhagavad Gita to us. But through that, what is the message to us? Almanam rathinam vidhi shariram ratham evaja buddhistu saradhim vidhi manapragraham evaja indriyani hayanyahu vishayanteshu gocharan. We must know that we are also fighting one Kurukshetram battle within ourselves. That is a battle between the divine nature in us and the demoniac nature in us. That's going on perpetually within us. We have to, that's why Krishna is saying there that almanam rithinam vidhi. That soul is situated within this human body, material body. So material body is considered to be like a chariot. And in that chariot, the soul is the passenger. Soul is the passenger. So shariram rathamevaja. The chariot is this material body. We have been given this material body by Krishna so that we can utilize it for what? To cross this cycle of birth and death. That's what this vehicle has been given to us. That is the relationship with Upanishads and Bhagavad Gita. This is the essence that's taken in Upanishads. Upanishads is not too concerned about how many people got killed in Mahabharata war. Is that such a significant, important news? Which year it happened? What was the weather like when the battle happened? People ask all these kind of questions. But a person who is intelligent, they don't ask such questions. It's not important for him. In the Bhagavatam also, you will see the same kind of things. That when a person, a good speaker and a good listener is like Sukadeva Goswami and Parikshit. They have been given this position. Because Parikshit, as soon as he knew that he had to leave this world, he did not ask silly questions to Sukadeva Goswami. That when Sukadeva Goswami talked about different incarnations and their appearances, if you look, Parikshit is not asking questions in which year fish incarnation happened or which year Varaha incarnation happened. How does it help Parikshit when he is going to die in 7 days time? What is the benefit by knowing in which year it happened? This is how we study the history, isn't it? We study history like this. And that's very important for us, in which year it happened. Or where did it happen? How did it happen? These are the things we talk. Many often people, they think that they have to ask these questions about Bhagavad Gita. Then if it happened in Kurukshetra, where exactly is the spot where Arjuna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Krishna? Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. They are very particularly concerned about it. Is this very important? Whether it was spoken here or whether it is spoken somewhere else, what does it matter? What Krishna has spoken is important. not where it was spoken, and which year it happened. They have no significance. So such questions are never asked when one properly wants to understand Bhagavad Gita. So Krishna is saying here that the Atmanam Rathinam Vidhi, this is the essence of the message, that this body is like a chariot. And in this chariot, the soul is the passenger, like Arjuna. Arjuna is like the chariot, the passenger. That's why that picture of Bhagavad Gita, where in every Bhagavad Gita you'll find in the front, Krishna driving the chariot, Arjuna is the passenger in the chariot, and the four or five horses driving the chariot. All this is spoken to bring this image in front of us all the time. Because unless we have this image in our mind all the time, we won't relate with Bhagavad Gita properly. We will see only the superficial side of it. Atmanam Rathinam Vidhi. The soul is the passenger in the chariot. Shariram Rathameva Cha. The body is the chariot. The body is the chariot. Buddhistu Saradhim Vidhi. The intelligence is the charioteer. Krishna says, the intelligence is the charioteer. Buddhistu Saradhim Vidhi. Mana Pragrahameva Cha. The mind is the rein which controls the horses. What are the horses? Indriyani Hayanyahu Mishayanteshu Gocharan. All the five horses, what you find there, they are the senses. And where are they running to? They are running to the sense objects. They are running to the sense objects. So when one realizes this, that my senses are running me, driving me to the sense objects, and the mind is the one which is supposed to control them, and the person who controls the mind is intelligence. Therefore, in the spot where intelligence is to be recognized, Krishna is sitting there in the chariot. Or in other words, if we take this message from Bhagavad Gita and substitute that position of intelligence, then Krishna is driving that chariot. And that chariot, Krishna says, it will reach the destination. Otherwise, it won't reach the destination. It will topple somewhere if it is driven by our intelligence. If it is driven by Krishna's intelligence, which is Bhagavad Gita, and that chariot will reach the proper destination. So this is an important thing in the Bhagavad Gita. In the sixth chapter, you can see Prabhupada has made this comparison between us, our living entities, and that chariot construction. It is called Rathakalpana, accepting us as a chariot. And how this chariot will reach the destination? What is the destination for us? Either it is Vaikuntham or it is Golokam, it doesn't matter. We have to get out of this material existence, cycle of birth and death, and get to the final destination, which is Krishna. So how to reach that destination? That's what this chariot has to take us at the end. The chariot has to take us there. And for that purpose, it is presented, and this is what exactly what Krishna wanted us to understand from Bhagavad Gita. That is this process is what is discussed in the Bhagavad Gita. So here Krishna says, Bhaktyamam abhijanadi yavanyaschasmi tattvata tatomam tatudo jnatva vishade tadanandaram. Bhaktyamam yavanyachaha asmi tattvataha abhijanadi tataha mam tatudaha jnatva tadanandaram vishade. Mam Mishade, Krishna says, like that. So, the important point here is, Krishna says, once you have come to that platform, Bhaktyamam Abhijanadi, he will understand me properly. This is important. Properly, he says, in Tatvada, in truth, he will understand me. You will see this statement earlier also in Bhagavad Gita. Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti Tatvada. What is that Tatvada means? Understanding Krishna as Krishna wants us to understand him. Otherwise our understanding is not proper. We understand so many things in our mind. We come to so many wrong conclusions. We never properly understand the things. So once we understand properly, only that will change our understanding of spiritual life also. So here Krishna says, Tadomam tattvado jnatva vishade tadanandaram. And such a person, his understanding will be so perfect that he will not be concerned about this material existence. He's already liberated to such an extent that he's already liberated from material life. Why it is said like that is that this world, what we have created this world within ourselves, isn't it? Escaping from material existence does not mean that one has to run away from this world. That's not what meant. What it says is, even while in this world, one can be liberated. One can be liberated. Because the external world we have created, our mind, our senses, our intelligence, due to its association with matter, it has created a world for ourselves. A world for ourselves. But through knowledge, renunciation and devotion, one can detach himself also from this situation. So that's what Krishna is saying here. Now, whenever Krishna says bhaktyamam abhijanadi yavanyaschasmi tatvada, that bhakti, when Krishna is referring to bhakti, immediately we should think what Krishna says about bhakta, who is a devotee. And those are the verses I've referred to many times before, which is that 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita is an important chapter. We should reflect on it many, many times, particularly those verses with reference to the definition of a bhakta, of a devotee. And if we don't accept that statement of Krishna there, who is a devotee? Who is a devotee? Krishna talks about that there. Such a devotee is very dear to me, Krishna says, isn't it? Krishna says there. What are the qualities are mentioned? Adveshta sarvabhudanam maitra karuna evacha nirmamo nirahangara sukhadukha samakshami sandushta sadadam yogi yadalma dhadanishchaya may arpita manobuddhir yomel bhakta samepriya yasmano dujade logo logano dujade chaya harsha amarsha bhayodhoge mukto yasa samepriya. All these are the qualities of a devotee whom Krishna considers as a devotee. Krishna is not talking about that devotee who is wearing dhoti and kurta and putting a tilak and shika, and Krishna says he is a devotee. Never, not in Bhagavad Gita, he has not said anything like that. They are required for our own practice of spiritual life. We do that. But really, devotee, when Krishna is talking about, is these verses in the Bhagavad Gita, starting from verse 13 to 20. 13 to 20 in chapter 12. There you will see, Not one word has been spoken about the devotee's dress or devotee's activities. Mostly it refers to his consciousness. And what is this? That Krishna says there, Adveshta sarvabhudanam maitra karuna evaja. A devotee's consciousness has to be like that, Krishna says. Nirmamo nirahangara samadukha sugakshami sandushta sadadam yogi yadalma dhadanishchaya mai arpita mano buddhir yomal bhakta samaye priyaha yasma anudhijade logo loganudhijade chaya harsha amarsha bhayo dvage muktoya sajame priyaha. Krishna says, yasma anudhijade logo loganudhijade chaya. Such a person is never causes any anxiety to another living entity. Nor loga no dhijade chaya. This external world cannot create any disturbance for him either. In either way, he does not create any anxiety for somebody else, nor he gets affected by any of the things what goes on in this world. Why? Because he knows behind everything is Krishna. That he has come to that level, that is a devotee. Harsha amarsha bhayodhogair muktoya sachame priyaha. Harsham amarsham. Harsha means he does not get externally. He does not become completely jubilant because of all what is going on in this world. And similarly, he does not get amarsham, anger with anything when things go wrong in this world. Harsha amarsha bhayodhogair bhayam udvegam. He doesn't have any fear about anything, nor he has any anxiety about anything. That is bhayam and udvegam. Harsha amarsha bhayo udvegair mukto ayasa chame priyaha. Krishna says, such a devotee is dear to me. Isn't it? Krishna says, such a devotee is dear to me. So Krishna's definition of devotee and our definition of devotee is sometimes very much different. Our definition is so far away from sometimes what, when you read Bhagavad Gita, that Krishna talks about these qualities. And when these qualities are present, you should accept that person as a devotee. You should accept that person as a devotee. Otherwise, what will happen is, simply like sheep, if we start putting everyone on a pedestal and start glorifying people without knowing what is exactly, who is a devotee, what is Krishna expected from that person? And unless we know his consciousness is in that level, you cannot accept that. That is causing a lot of problems sometimes. We get misled and then we get into all kinds of difficulties. We get into all kinds of difficulties. This is why this 12th chapter, particularly these verses, requires to be thoroughly understood and thoroughly reflected on. Tulya Nindastudir Mauni Sandushto Yena Kenava. Krishna says that Tulya Nindastudir Mauni Sandushto Anigeta Stenamadur Bhaktimanme Priyonara. Yona Krishnati Nadveshti Nashavajari Nakamshari. Krishna says all sorts of things in that 12th chapter in relationship with devotee, verses 13 to 20. So one who has, every time when Krishna is talking about a devotee, we must immediately go into those verses and see from there what is the situation with anyone for that matter. If these qualities what Krishna has spoken there is developing in a person, then that person is considered to be a devotee. Otherwise not. Not externally any other reason. So this is an important thing Krishna talks about here. Then see, in the now Bhagavad Gita is coming to a close. Bhagavad Gita is coming to a close. Up to this point, Krishna has spoken a lot of things. Now it is what they call in the music as the grand finale starts now. Krishna is starting the grand finale of the Bhagavad Gita now. So what he's going to say now is, from now on, he is going to say to Arjuna certain things and is going to close the Bhagavad Gita. But before closing, he is going to bring back some of the points which he has spoken so far. Once again, he is going to say to Arjuna the same thing repeatedly. He is going to repeat the whole thing again. But in a very, very few verses, he will bring out the very important points and he will leave everything to Arjuna to make the judgment. That's the beauty of Bhagavad Gita. And in the Vedic philosophy, nowhere in any of the Vedic literature you will find a threat to anybody, that if I don't do like this, I'll go to hell and I'm going to experience this, that, and the other, frightening people in that way. That's not the Vedic system of preaching, or not preaching, that's not the way of presenting Krishna consciousness. Krishna at least has never done that. Maybe somebody else might have done certain sometimes, but Krishna hasn't done any time that he has to present things in a frightening mood to Arjuna. That's therefore Bhagavad Gita becomes much more attractive to all classes of people, intellectual class or the ordinary people. Everyone feels comfortable with studying Bhagavad Gita. They feel comfortable with it. Because Bhagavad Gita is not threatening anyone, anything. Bhagavad Gita only tells you the fact, and it's up to us to understand it and accept it or reject it. That's up to us. Krishna says, but having spoken so many chapters now, almost 18 chapters, Krishna has to conclude it. So that conclusion begins now. That's what it is now. In the next verse you will see that. This is the final words from Krishna.
Sarvakarmanyapi sada kurvano badvapashaya malprasadal avapnodi shashvatam padamavyayam.
That's the first verse in that.
Sarvakarmani abhi sada kurvano madvapashayaha.
Sarvakarmani, this is the first word to understand. People have this conception. This is a difficult thing to get through also.
Sarvakarmani abhi sada,
Krishna says. People think that karmam I am doing. So will this come under karma yogam category? Will that come under karma yogam category? This way they start analyzing. What Krishna is expecting from us is sarvakarmani. Sarvakarmani means every single thing what we do with our senses of action and senses of knowledge. That is sarvakarmani. Nothing is excluded. The material body is a vehicle given to us for self-realization, to develop self-realization. So because it is like that, as far as Krishna is concerned, sarvakarmani, everything what we do has to be in connection with self-realization. Everything has to be done in connection with self-realization. Every karma has to be connected with self-realization. So often people think that, oh, this is Bhagavad Gita is saying like this, but I've got my work to do. I've got something else to do. I've got this responsibility, family responsibility, this responsibility for the community, this, that and the other. And then they start breaking up from that. Then they think that all Bhagavad Gita is not very practical thing to do. Or they make some
because they have not understood what Krishna is saying. Sarva karmani, Krishna says, sarva karmani, every karma has to be linked to Krishna. That is karma yogam. Otherwise, where is yogam there? It simply becomes karma. Human body is not meant for sense gratification or sense enjoyment. Human body is meant for spiritual realization, to know the self. So it is from that point Krishna is saying here, sarva karmani api sada. Sada. Sada means always, all the time. Not intermittently. Not during the weekend. Not during the weekdays. No. This is why it is different from all the other ways of spiritual life. In this world, we have so many different processes of spiritual life, isn't it? So many religions preaching different. Why is that? In Vedic system, no particular day is specified. Some people say Sunday, some people say Monday, some people say... No. Krishna says, sarva karmani api sada. 24 hours, 7 days, 365 days a year throughout life. That is spiritual life as from the Vedic point of view. This is why no particular day is specified for the Vedic way of executing spiritual life. It's a 24-hour business. In all circumstances, this is the only thing to be done. Otherwise, we can't realize the self. Whereas in other processes, they will talk about executing a certain spirituality on a particular day in a week for a few hours, and rest of the time they will do what they want. And on one day in a week, they will perform some spiritual activity, some recognition of the absolute truth. But that is not Vedic philosophy. Vedic philosophy is not so simple that one can give it up like that. There is no separation, in other words, there's no division of life as material life and spiritual life. Whole life is spiritual from the Vedic point of view. There is no material life, only you have to execute what is minimum necessary for maintaining the body. Rest, everything is for spiritual advancement. That's why Krishna is saying like this. Sarva karmani api sada, all the time. And then what? Kurvano madhvabhashrayaha. Everything has to be done and you should be dependent on me. Madhvabhashraya. Then all senses and all its activities completely offered to Krishna, such a person, in due course, he will become qualified to receive that mercy from Krishna. Only such a person will receive that mercy from Krishna. That, with the result of that, Krishna says, Mal prasadal avapnodi. When he has come to that stage, Krishna says, Mal prasadal. Because Krishna is pleased with that, avapnodi shashvadam padamavyayam. The result of that will be shashvadam. He will come to my eternal abode, back to Krishna. That is how one free oneself from material life. Otherwise, whenever we talk about spiritual life, our partial commitment or partial activities or the separating between material life and spiritual life and telling Krishna that I got all these responsibilities with me, so I can only do so much for you, rest I have to do for my family. And if I take that approach to Krishna, Krishna will say to us, okay, at the moment you can't do it, so carry on, do it your family life. When you are ready, you come to me. I'll take you back at that time. Till that time, don't hustle me, he will say. You keep coming to me with all your problems, but at the same time, all your life is centered around family and society and community. And then you want me to do what you want me to do. Please, don't bother me. This is Krishna's humble request to all of us. So because of this, every time we have to read Bhagavad Gita all the time to get this into our head, that we don't go to Krishna with all our problems of this world. That is not Krishna's problem. That is my karma is following me. What can I do? I have created my own life. It is me. It has followed me from my own life previous times. And that is coming and giving me trouble. Why Krishna should be blamed for that? So this is the thing Krishna is saying here. Sarva karmani api sada kurvano madhvabhashrayaha mal prasada lavapnodi shashvadam padamavyayam. Now Krishna is talking to the point, saying to Arjuna very precisely that this is where the situation is. Unless you develop this position, sarva karmani api sada kurvano madhvabhashrayaha mal prasada lavapnodi shashvadam padamavyayam. So this is the final words from Krishna to Arjuna. If Krishna Arjuna has understood karma yogam properly, and if Arjuna has reflected on it properly, these words will have its desired effect on Arjuna. Because Arjuna will understand, yes, this is what is expected of me. This is what is expected of me. Now, There will be one question. We will know that Krishna has spoken Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. I selected Arjuna because Arjuna is a devotee. That was his first qualification, to be a listener of Bhagavad Gita. Does that mean those who are not devotees cannot hear Bhagavad Gita? Does it say anywhere like that? No, it doesn't say like that. Those who are not even devotees, if they are have the qualifications what Krishna says later on in the remaining verses, even such a person, by hearing about him and these instructions, he may be able to transform himself into becoming a devotee, to develop to this process. So therefore, Bhagavad Gita is meant for the whole human society. It's not meant for one person or the other. But provided the way to understand Bhagavad Gita is what Krishna describes in the future, in the next remaining verses. That's the only way you can understand Bhagavad Gita. Otherwise, if you approach Bhagavad Gita from a different angle, with the mood of challenge, Krishna is not going to be affected by that. Krishna says, you won't understand, leave him alone. What can you do? He doesn't have the intelligence. Krishna will bring that out very nicely in the next few verses. So, Krishna said like this, that sarvakarmani abhi sada kurvano madhvabhashrayaha mal prasadal avapnodi shashodam padam avyayam. Now, having said that, whether one has the knowledge or not, if he engages all his senses of knowledge and senses of action all the time, in without expecting anything in return, just to please Krishna, if he engages like that, in due course of time, Krishna says he will become a recipient of mercy, Krishna's mercy. At that time, only because of that mercy alone, he will go back to spiritual world. He will escape from this cycle of material life, from the cycle of birth and death. Having said that, Krishna now talks about a person who is going to have that consciousness. Chetasa sarvakarmani maisanyasya malparaha buddhiyoga upashritya machitta sadadam bhavaha. Krishna says, chetasa sarvakarmani maisanyasya malparaha. A person who is executing karmam in that way, what is his consciousness? That's what is answered in that verse. Chetasa sarvakarmani maisanyasya malparaha. He executes the actions in such a way, all the activities are linked to Krishna with his mind. In other words, he knows very well that Krishna is engaging him in doing that. That consciousness is very firm in his mind. He is aware that Krishna is making him to do that. Krishna is doing it through him, that realization he has. He is not separating that I am the doer. That's not there anymore. He's always thinking throughout his all activities that Krishna is using me as a tool to perform this particular activity. That is what it is. Chetasa sarvakarmani mai sanyasya malparaha. That he has given up all karmam with the desire for mai sanyasya. He has given up in the result that malparaha is dependent on Krishna. Krishna is guiding him, taking him further in life. The next few verses are so important in Bhagavad Gita that if we have not understood the message of Bhagavad Gita till now, at least the remaining few verses must bring something to our head. Because it is spoken in such a way, as I mentioned, Krishna is playing the final, is concluding his instructions to Arjuna. And he is speaking with a very high intensity. And he has spoken it in that way because this is now the final option to Arjuna, what he has to do. So he has to be very precise and he has to be very firm what he says. And that's what you will see in the next few verses. So Krishna says here, Chetasa sarvakarmani mai sanyasya malparaha buddhi yoga mubhashritya machitta sadadam bhava. Then Krishna says, by acting in that way, you can become detached from this world by realizing that Krishna is executing the different activities through me. Then when one executes his life in that way, Krishna says, and always recognizing the position of Krishna in this world, that is what is missing in our life, isn't it? We don't recognize Krishna's presence in anything. Where do we recognize Krishna's presence? Most of us say, I've done it, he has done it, somebody else has done it. And if we ever recognize anything, Krishna's presence in this world, if we recognize, it is only when we come to the temple and see the deities. Oh, here is Krishna. That much we may recognize. Even there we have doubts. Isn't it? Even there we have doubts. But here in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying, Chedasa sarvagarmani mai sanyasya malpara buddhi yogam vashritya ma chitta sadadam bhava. A devotee who has come to this consciousness, he will not see in every activity, he will only see Krishna's hands in there. And not only that, when he start doing that firmly, in due course of time, all other misconceptions or misunderstanding will go away from his mind and all his senses will be purified. All his senses will be, mind and senses will be purified. And with the result that inside as well as outside, he will see only Krishna exist. Inside and outside, only Krishna exist. And all the other things, what is at the moment, the mind is busy with different perceptions. It is always judging different things. And we making different decisions. In that decisions, Krishna doesn't come in. Krishna is not a factor. It's our decision. We make that decision. So there is some examples in the Puranams to tell us who are these people who have done like that. The finest example is Hanuman himself in Ramayana. Hanuman is considered to be the best example for this. This is what Krishna is saying here. Hanuman, if you know that when he received instructions from Ramachandra in search of Sita Devi, when he was going to look for Sita Devi, his tongue was vibrating the holy name of Ramachandra. He was carrying the ring from Ramachandra to be handed over to Sita Devi, Anguliyam. As it's mentioned, Anguliyam. He was carrying the Anguliyam with him. And the mind was full of thoughts about how to execute the work for Ramachandra. It is Ramachandra's sake he has to do that. In other words, everything in his body, the mind, the senses, everything that except Ramachandra, nothing existed for him. Nothing except Ramachandra, nothing existed for him in all his life. And that is where, because Hanumanji had that realization in his life that he was executing that karma in exactly like the way Krishna is talking about it here. And therefore, Hanumanji is considered to be the best example in this. That mind, senses, intelligence, body, everything in Ramachandra's service, that was Hanuman's consciousness at that time. The finest example in the Bhagavadam, in the Ramayana. That. So, therefore, Hanumanji's mood was that only after I have completed this mission of Ramachandra, I'll take rest. This was his position, isn't it? He will only take rest after that. So he has come to that state of mind that he was able to execute his service properly. That because the same thing, if you analyze Bhagavad Gita properly, you will see this again and again mentioned. In the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna talked about yajnam, isn't it? Yajnam, a sacrifice of life. For what? Sarvam yajne pradishtidam. Everything is based on yajnam. Krishna says it has to be a yajnam. It has to be a sacrifice. Otherwise, it is not spiritual. It is not spiritual. So, that personality who follows this road, he says this route, this send his horses or the senses will take him in the right direction. Otherwise, dushtashwam ivasarathe, all his horses will be considered to be dushtashwam. Dushtashwa means the horses which will lead you in the wrong direction. Dushtashwa ivasarathe. That's what will happen to that chariot of this material body. So, having said that, Krishna now talks about the another important verse. Machitta sarva durghani malprasadal tarishyasi adajetu ahangaral nashroshyasi vinangshyasi. This is also a very important verse. Because first Krishna said, a person who has come to that spiritual life and who wants to come back to me, this is what is expected of him. What is expected of him. So these last two verses must have made Arjuna realize that he has to become very, very serious about it. So at that point, Krishna also remind him something which is much more important. What is that? Machita sarva durgani mal prasada al tarishyase. If a person has any obstacles in his spiritual life, durgani, durga means obstacle. Machita sarva durgani mal prasada al tarishyase. Such a person will get over it, Krishna says, mal prasada al, because of my mercy, he will get over that problem. How? Atachetum ahangaram nashroshasi navinangshasi nashroshasi vinangshasi. Now, there is a very subtle way of presenting there, where Krishna is saying to Arjuna, if you have not understood this and followed this, you will be driven by something else and you are going to be destroyed completely. That is in that verse very much. Now let us understand that verse a little bit more. Machita sarvadurgani, Krishna says. Machita sarvadurgani. All your obstacles, Krishna says, will be finished. All your obstacles in spiritual life will be finished. Machitam sarvadurgani. Provided if you act in that way. Why did Krishna say like that? This is a question to ask. Because normally our relationship with Krishna is not very honest. You have to be very clear about this point. We are not very honest in our relationship with Krishna. We have built some kind of false relationship with Him in our dealings with Him. Why is said like that is, normally in this world, when we try to execute spiritual life, we find that there are so many obstacles coming in there. Isn't it? So many kinds of obstacles. We say that, my job is not very conducive for executing spiritual life. I have to work so many hours in a day. And therefore the work is a problem. We blame the work. Then we blame that, because of my family commitments, I can't do it. I can't practice spiritual life. And then we will blame somebody else, the society, or this or that. So many excuses we will find. As far as Krishna is concerned, because your relationship with me is not proper, you have all these problems. That's what he is saying here. Machitam sarvadurgani mal prasadal tarishyasi. Krishna says, if your relationship with me is correct, then you won't have these obstacles. Natural tendency in us is to adjust the surroundings to suit us. Not we don't adjust with the surroundings of this world. That's where the problem starts. Because in this verse, Krishna is also mentioning here that the one who has got that kind of attitude, who is thinking that the circumstances should change to suit me to practice spiritual life. Often you will find people making this statement, when I retire at 60, I'll go to Vrindavan, get my apartment, from then on I'll be starting spiritual life. It's not much different than Ajamila's chanting holy name at the age of 88. It's not going to be much different than that. So what Krishna is telling us is that if you are always constantly whinging about the sahajaryam, sahajaryam means the circumstances, and not understanding Bhagavad Gita properly, you have not understood the message. That's the point Krishna is making. Machitta sarvadurgani mal prasadal tarishyasi. We want a relationship with Krishna in such a way. If Krishna does what we want Him to do and make the surroundings suitable for us, then Krishna, we say we'll have a relationship with you. This is the first condition we put forward to Krishna. And with this understanding we are going to Krishna. And Krishna says it doesn't work, because that is not how He gives the devotion to a devotee. He doesn't give the devotion in that way. He wants us to understand that this is where you are at the moment in this material world, whichever condition, whichever situation we are. Are you willing to practice spiritual life in that condition? This is the question, challenge from Krishna's side. From Krishna's side, this is the challenge. Are you able to execute spiritual life in whichever condition you are? Have you developed that realization yourself and the firm commitment to practice spiritual life, which hasn't happened? And therefore, on the other hand, we want our material, comfortable material life, and when we have difficulty, we are willing to go to Krishna and ask for help. And if He gives help, it's fine. If He doesn't heal help, then it's also fine. So this is where we are. There's a story about this, an interesting story. If you think about this, you will see that we are not much different than this person whom we are going to talk about. Once there was a person who was very atheist. He was an atheistic person, Gnostic as he is called. He's not Astic, he's Gnostic. He never believed in God, he never believed in the existence of God, and he always spoke against it, against the belief in God. So this person, he used to go for walking in the morning to different routes. He goes for morning walks. And once he was walking in a very remote area, not far from, quite far from the village where he lived. And in that area, there was an old temple there. There was an old temple there. And near the temple, there was a well. There was a well, which was very deep well near the temple. And nobody was going to the temple because there were so many people like him around. They decided there is no need to worship. And they all had their own philosophies and they were going on. So, but what happened to him was, one day while walking in the early hours in the morning, it wasn't bright enough, by mistake he went and fell into this well. This deep well, he has fallen into that. He's fallen into that deep well. Fallen into that deep well. So while falling into the well, it so happened that there was a tree in there which has grown, because wells which are not used for a long period of time, trees will sprout from inside, outside, everywhere. So one tree, he got stuck there in that tree, and he held on to that branch. He was holding on to that branch, and he was standing on that branch of the tree, sitting there. And if you lose that, he is gone, finished. He is deep down there on the deepest point in the well. He's going to fall. But something has caught on and he held there. When he knew he was falling, he managed to hold on to that. And he got stuck there. So when he got stuck there, he realized that he is in great difficulty. He is in great difficulty. It is a matter of life or death now. Naturally, when such situations come, you can't do anything else in this world, can you? There is no hope of doing anything. At that time, he was also willing to try out. Does God exist? Let me see now, he says. At that point, when it came to that stage, so he thought, because it's near a temple now, maybe God is there, who knows, he said. So he started calling Krishna by different names. Whatever, he has heard different names, people calling. So he started calling all kinds of different names and saying to Krishna, please help me. I'm come to this situation. So when he was saying like that, no answer from anywhere. There was no sign of any help coming from anywhere. So he thought himself, this is no good, he said. He says that if God exists, he should help me. Why is he not helping me? I've called him so many times. He's not giving me any help. He's not giving me any help. This is what he was thinking. Then after some time, he thought, maybe that Krishna is not satisfied with me just calling like that, because I have not done anything for him in my life. All I have done is asking from him something. In other words, I haven't even asked him for anything. On the other hand, I completely ignored him. But let me make some promise to him, he said. He says to him, if you save me from this situation now, I will become a sannyasi, he says. I'll become a sannyasi. And I will preach Bhagavad Gita in the whole world, he says. He says to Krishna, I'll preach Bhagavad Gita to the whole world. So at that point, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, such people are very dear to me, isn't it? So he says, he doesn't know how it happened. He just said like that. At that point, Krishna says, okay. If you say like that you are going to preach Krishna consciousness after you, if I save you now, that means it's not a bad thing. That means you are straight away understanding my message properly. All right. So in order to do that, he says to him that now that you have understood me, and so he gave a small reply to him. Krishna spoke in a one word. Yes, I am hearing what you are saying, my dear Bhakta, my dear devotee. I am hearing what you are saying. He says like that.
He said, I'm hearing very well.
So the sannyasi, the future sannyasi, we call it like that, the would-be sannyasi in the future, says to Krishna like this. He says that, first of all, you have to save me from here in this condition. Only then I can do it. But Krishna says, then you just forget, you're going to preach Krishna consciousness, aren't you? He said. He says, yes, I am going to do that. I'll be a sannyasi. I won't need anything in this world anymore. The only thing I'll do is simply preach Krishna consciousness. Krishna says to him, just leave your hand. You will be saved, he says. So he says to Krishna, I'm not so stupid, he says. So this is exactly the relationship which all of us have with Krishna. We are not much different than this. We want things and we want Krishna to do it for us. Bhagavad Gita is not giving us that license. We must understand that. If we think that this is how we are going to execute our spiritual life, it's not going to happen. We can as well forget it, go and work very hard, and as much money or as much happiness in life, we can look for the external world. But Bhagavad Gita is talking about that surrender, which is now coming to the end of Bhagavad Gita. We are talking about surrender. What is surrender means, isn't it? When we don't understand surrender, everybody says, oh, I surrendered to Krishna. I joined ISKCON because I surrendered to Krishna now. So this is not what Krishna is talking about. The surrender of the word, which is going to come later, we'll see there how difficult these things are. It is not that in one word, 1 minute, we can make a declaration to the world that I've surrendered to Krishna. I'm surrendered to Krishna. That is why it is in this context Krishna is talking about it here. Machitta sarvavargani mal prasadal tarishyasi. When one has properly surrendered to Krishna, Krishna says, Sarva Durgani, all problems are solved there. I'll take care of that at that point. So just like this man who was holding on to that branch, his faith wasn't there, that he was not willing to surrender anything. He says to Krishna, you do this for me, then I'll do that for you. This is the approach. Krishna says, okay, if you have the faith in me, leave that branch, I will protect you. Krishna, he says, no, I'm not going to do that, he says. So what is his faith then? What's his faith then? So that is the type of surrender that is expected from a devotee. So you can see there, Machitta sarvadurgani malprasadal tarishyasi. Malprasadal tarishyasi. Such a person will get over all these problems easily. Why? Because atachetvam ahangaram nashoshyasi vinangshyasi. After saying this, this message is very important. Why Krishna said these words to Arjuna? You may wonder why he said like this to him. The reason is this. From the very beginning, Arjuna was very proud about his Kshatriya nature. He was very proud that he was going to fight the war and win. This is one pride in him. Secondly, he was very confident that he is the doer. Otherwise, he would not have preached to Krishna about his philosophy in the beginning, would he? Would he? He wouldn't have said all those things in the early stages in the Arjuna Vishada Yogam. The first chapter, if you read, you will see there Arjuna saying to Krishna why he is not fighting the war, why he does not want this to happen. All me, me, me. I am the doer and it's me who will make the decision. Remember that in the first chapter when Arjuna approached, Krishna says in this verse the answer to that. What is the answer? Athachetum ahangaral nashroshyasi vinangshyasi. Krishna says to him, if you have understood this message, what I have spoken till now, and if you are able to act in that understanding, then you will succeed. If not, athachetum ahangaral. If you do things based on your false ego inside, thinking that you are making the decision and you are doing the things, nashroshyasi, nothing is going to happen to you, vinangshyasi, everything will be finished. That was the word Krishna has used there. So you can see there that automatically Krishna says, a person who comes to spiritual life and he has that degree of surrender, that first thing is that false ego has to go from him, that he is the doer. He is the doer. That false ego has to go. It is no point just saying that, oh, I have no false ego. I am just doing what Krishna wants me to do. That's not enough. It is just that call, perception has to change. Only one who has given up that understanding of that I am the doer, ahangaram as it is mentioned, false ego, only one who has completely got rid of that, such a person alone can make that surrender to Krishna. That can make that surrender to Krishna. Otherwise it is not possible. That is what the important thing in this verse. You see how Krishna has said that Machitta Sarvadurgani Malprasadal Tarikshasi Atachetum Ahangaram Nashroshasi Vinangshasi. If you do it based on your false ego, Krishna says, thinking that you are going to make the decision and after hearing from me, you have decided this way or that way. Strictly speaking, Krishna says, you have no freedom to make any decision. That will come later. Krishna will prove it. So from all these verses, Krishna is making Arjuna to realize that this is his position. Not only Arjuna, every single one of us in this world are in that position. Vedavyasa Maharshi has got only one thing to tell us in Bhagavad Gita. That is to make us aware what our position in this world is. If somebody is thinking that he can do this, he can do that, Krishna says, it is not the right understanding. You cannot do anything. What you can do, Krishna says, you can act as a tool for me. That is what your position is. And in order to drive us to that point, which will come a little later, Krishna has to prepare us for that, to bring us to that point. That's why Krishna has spoken this verse. Machitta sarvadurgani malprasadal tarishyasi adachetum ahangaram nashoshyasi vinangshyasi. Adachetum ahangaram, based on your false ego, if you think, I'll do this and I'll do that and I'll do this, so many things, if you make some program like that, then nashoshyasi vinangshyasi. It's only going to end up in disaster. So, Krishna is talking about a devotee. Again, devotee talked about in the 12th chapter. Not type of devotee. Not the modern type of devotees. The old style. Atachetum ahangaram nashroshyasi vinangshyasi. Krishna says here. So, Krishna says here that such a situation, Krishna says, all the obstacles will go. Because if he has that degree of surrender in him, if he has such a degree of surrender in him, there won't be any obstacles. Obstacles has come because of the mind, isn't it? The mind has not accepted Bhagavad Gita properly. Mind, Krishna has, Krishna, that's what Krishna is pointing out here. That your mind is focusing on something else in this world. And therefore, all these obstacles are coming. And therefore, Krishna says, they are durgam. They are blocks on your Machitam sarvadurgani malprasadal tarishyasi. If you have understood Bhagavad Gita and Krishna's instructions, one should not complain anymore about these things. That's no good. Because that doesn't make any sense at all. After hearing, and Krishna knows us better than we know about ourselves. And that's why Krishna is saying like this. This is our situation and we have to take that into account. Therefore this is spoken. Now, after this, then another much more important verse than before. Because it is in through next 2-3 verses, Krishna is going to shake Arjuna a little bit. He's going to shake him to the core. And that you will see in the next 1 or 2 verses, how Krishna does that with Arjuna. Very interesting verses. Because all these verses in Bhagavad Gita are meant for deep analysis, deep reflection. When one does not think about it, just reading is not good. Why Krishna spoke them and why is the significance of these last words, what Krishna has spoken? Yad ahangaram ashritya nayolsyam idi manyase mithyeshu vyavasayaste prakriti swam niyokshani. Another important verse. I have told you, Krishna says to Arjuna, that in the last verse, Krishna says, adachetum ahangaram nashroshyasi vinangshyasi. If you take into your false ego and if you make the decision, then there is not much hope, he says. So first of all, Krishna wanted Arjuna to understand that all your decisions up to this point were based on false ego. Arjuna also had, like anyone else in this world, has bad understanding of things, not proper understanding. He also thought, if we kill the Kauravas, achieve the kingdom, and we could be the controllers. As a Kshatriya, he thought like that. He also thought of that. And all that, all that morals he was talking to Krishna in the beginning about killing the friends and killing the relatives and killing the his teachers and all that was empty words. Didn't mean much as far as Krishna is concerned, because he was speaking from ignorance. He was speaking from ignorance. That's what Krishna is pointing out to Arjuna. You don't even know what you are. You don't even know on what basis you are doing your work. Nothing is known. All Arjuna was talking exactly like the way we talk in this world. Isn't it? We also talk in the same way. We also talk about it in the same way. When we have to make some important decisions in this world, what do? We just do what we want. We think, because it's based on false ego. That's why it is like that. And therefore, everything ends up in problems also. That's what Krishna is pointing out here. So, he says, if you don't listen to me, the next verse, that is the next verse. If you don't listen to me, and if you, based on your false ego, if you execute, make up your decision, Krishna says, yada ahankara vashritya, based on your false ego, nayolsyamiti manyase, mithyesha vyavasayaste, prakritiswam niyokshati. Krishna says here, that a lot of people, after reading that verse, they say, Krishna is now threatening Arjuna. Krishna is now threatening Arjuna. Why they say like that is, because first Krishna talks about false ego. And then he says to Arjuna, that if you make your decision based on the false ego, nayoshisi idi manyase, Krishna says, nayolsi idi manyase. If you look in the Bhagavad Gita second, these are all reply to Arjuna's questions in the first chapter. In the second chapter, if you take the ninth verse, Krishna says here, ninth verse, Sanjaya Vacha. Sanjaya was now talking about Arjuna to Dhritarashtra. If you look in that verse, you will see there, Sanjaya Vacha. Eva muktva krishikesham gunakesha parandava na yolsyam idi govinda uktva tushnim babuvaha. Na yolsya idi govinda uktva tushnim babuvaha. Sanjaya says there, speaking like this, that means the way Arjuna has spoken till now, speaking like this, you can remember all those verses in the second chapter, 5, 6, 7, 8, starting with that, I'm going to conquering them, or being conquered what am I going to gain from this? I'm going to kill my spiritual masters and the whole place is going to be a bloodbath. And this kind of things he has spoken. And at the end, karpanya dosha bhakta svabhavam prachamitvan dharma samodha chedaha. And eventually Arjuna surrenders to Krishna at that point, isn't it? And this incident in the battlefield, Sanjaya is reporting to Dhritarashtra. At that point he says, eva muktva krishikesham gunakesha parantama nayolsam idi govinda uktva tushnim babuvaha. At that point, having spoken like this, Arjuna has spoken like this to Krishna, and he nayolsam idi govinda uktva tushnim babuvaha. He decided not to fight and sat in the chariot. Sanjaya said this to Dhritarashtra. The answer to that, Krishna is now commenting on that here. He says, yada ahankaram ashritya nayolsyam idi manyase. If you based on your ahankaram, on your false ego, if you say that you are not going to fight, which you have done before in this ninth verse, because when he sat down, that's what he said, I'm not going to fight, isn't it? So Krishna is saying here, yada ahankaram ashritya nayolsyam idi manyase. Mithyesha vyavasayaste prakritiswam niyokshadi. Krishna says, mithyesha vyavasayaste. You are thinking that you can make that decision easily and escape from this. You are completely stupid, he says to him. Mithyesha vyavasayaste prakritiswam niyokshadi. In fact, Krishna says to him, even if you want to restrict yourself, you won't be able to do it. Why? Material nature will make you do it. Material nature will make you do it. Prakriti swam niyokshadi. Prakriti or material nature or your swabhavam will force you to fight this war. You won't be able to run away from here. Is this not in all of our situation in this world also? Often we sing that, I have taken this New Year resolution, they say, not to smoke anymore. Hardly a month has gone. Earlier he was smoking one packet, now he's packing 10 packets. Sorry. This is the so-called my decision, where it has ended up. In every stage in life, when you make decisions, Krishna wants us to think through this. That my old Siddhimanya say, Krishna says, Mithesha sarva vyavasayastha prakriti swam niyokshati. Prakriti will push you to do it. Prakriti, material nature, will push you to do it. You won't be able to say one word about that at that point. So many big men, they make big decisions. And then when the crunch comes, they are not able to control themselves. They lose the ground. They start acting dictated by the material nature. This is the whole problem. And this one point is very hard for us to accept it in this world. Isn't it? Very hard for us to accept it in this world. Especially many of us think that we are running the show in this world. If we were not there, what will happen to this world? This is most of us think. Big men, politicians and big leaders, they are all thinking like this. That it is because of them that the whole world is going on. And Krishna, through these verses, is only making us aware where we are, what is our position in this world. And we don't want to recognize it. We don't want to recognize it. And because of that, he has to repeat it again and again. He has said this before in many chapters and many times, the same message, but it has not clicked yet. It's still not clicking. Still we are, as soon as we leave the room and walk out, we'll think, oh, I have to do this, I have to do this, we'll start from there. We'll go on like this. Isn't it? So, what is our understanding of Bhagavad Gita then? What's our understanding of Bhagavad Gita? So, Krishna is trying to bring us to this one. Bhagavad Gita is a science. Bhagavad Gita is not a text of rituals and religious life. This is not what Krishna is trying to talk from Bhagavad Gita. Through Bhagavad Gita, Krishna wants us to understand, talks to us about our position in this world. Krishna's position, the material nature, the activities of the living entity, karma, and the spirit soul, jiva. And these are the factors that is discussed in Bhagavad Gita. All what is required is understanding it properly. And then we have understood what is to be understood. As long as we have not understood any of these things, simply repeating verse after verse, without knowing what Krishna wants us to understand, then our life is not going to change. We'll continue in the same way as we are. So therefore, Krishna is trying to tell us this point. If you based on your ahangaram, if you based on your false ego, if you start making decisions, Arjuna, you are not going to survive very long. In a very short time, you'll be back in the battlefield fighting the war. Why? Prakriti will push you, because I know how it works. You don't know how it works. That's the difference. See how much confidence Krishna has spoken about that with to Arjuna. So the first thing, first and foremost thing for every one of us is to understand this whole creation and the whole activities of this world behind this Krishna. Behind this Krishna, who is keeping this whole thing going like that. But when we identify with the body, when we identify the self as the body, that is why in Bhagavadam and Bhagavad Gita, in so many different places, in different ways, Vedavyasa is repeating this point. Isn't it? What does he say? He says there that Yasya alpa buddhi kunapetri thaduge sodhi kalatra adishu bhauma ijyadi ya tirtha buddhi salilena karhijil janeshu abhinyeshu sa eva ghokharaha. Krishna says there, Yasya alpa buddhi kunapetri thaduge. Vedavyasa is saying to Sri Narayana Maharshi, one who has got alpa buddhi. Alpa buddhi means the self, because all these problems have started with the identification with the material body, isn't it? So spiritual life means coming out of this identity of material body. Yes, alma buddhi kunape trithadu ge. Trithadu, vatam, pitam and kapam. Air, bile and mucus. Three things. That this is made of that bag, isn't it? Sodhi, kalatra, nishu, bhaumai, jari. All these things as important when one takes it. Land of birth is worshipable. Wife is important. Family life is important. Family is the most important factor. Swadhi kalatra adishu bhauma ijyadi, that the society and the land he lives is important. When in this understanding, if he lives in this world, ya tirtha buddhi salilena karhichal, When he goes to bathe in the holy rivers, he is thinking that bathing is that what is purifying him. If he gets to that understanding, janeshu abhijneshu sa eva ghogaraha. Such people, Krishna says, janeshu abhijneshu, such people are sa eva ghogaraha. They are all cows and asses, Krishna says. So in other words, Bhagavad Gita is bringing us to this understanding that what Krishna is telling us about our position in this world, what's our relationship with him. Just like Arjuna did not understand till he heard Bhagavad Gita what his position is. He could not understand. He was thinking, I am separate, Krishna is separate. Krishna is my friend, he is helping me to drive the chariot. Maybe he is God, who knows, but that was Arjuna's mood. All he wanted was, he is going to fight the war and Krishna is there to drive the chariot. And I'll fight and win, or I may not fight. This was his decision. Krishna wanted him to come out of that understanding that you are not the decision maker. This is the first thing. It's a very hard thing for us to digest in this world, isn't it? When somebody tells us that you are not the decision maker. Because throughout life, this is what we have done. We made the decisions and all went wrong all the time. This is what has happened. From day one, everything goes wrong. And then there is at the end, there is a consolation. Oh, if I could have done like this, it could have come out like that. All this kind of analysis. But in all these factors, Krishna says a devotee has to accept it in that way. Otherwise, that ahankaram will dictate. Ahankaram will dictate. False ego will dictate to him what he should do. Material nature will make that decision because of the false ego. That's the point Krishna is bringing out here. Yad ahankaram ashritya na yolsya iti manyase mithyesham vyavasayaste prakriti swam niyokshati. He says, if based on ahankaram or false ego, if you decide not to fight, and if you are thinking like that, you are a stupid person, mutha, Krishna says, because actually you are not controlled by yourself. You are not controlled by yourself. On the other hand, the nature in you, that's what is going to control you. That basically, that nature has come from prarabdham, isn't it? The nature has come from prarabdham. Prarabdham is that karma, what you have done in the past, which has fructified now. So with prarabdham, a certain vasanas have also come with us. And that vasanas will dictate to us how to act in a particular situation. We haven't got any freedom there. This is what Krishna is pointing out here to Arjuna. That prarabdham that has created certain vasanas in us, and that vasanas will force us to act in a particular way in these situations. So first of all, to accept that Krishna is actually, it is only when I come out of this illusion that I am the doer, ahankaram. I am the person who is controlling the situation. That one has to free oneself from that. If you do not do that, Krishna says, every living entity in this world is bound by his own karma. That's the point Krishna is making. Nobody has any freedom to reject or to accept anything what is not in his nature. That is how it happens. Often we think like this, that it is me who made that decision and that's why it has come out like this, because of my intelligent decision, as they say. We have seen so many intelligent decisions in this world like this. So many times, by so many big men. And these big men has got big advisors also to give them advice. And the so-called advisors and these big men took some big decision and the whole thing ended as a flop at the end. Haven't you seen that all the time? Are you not seeing this? And then they will make some excuses to get out of the situation. So where is intelligence in this? What intelligence is that? And they will not, their false ego won't even allow them to accept that they have lost it. They got beaten many times in their decisions and they have lost so much. Still, the false ego won't allow them to admit it, that I made a mistake. That I was making that decision based on false ego. This is what Krishna... Do you have to apply these to the many, many big men in this world? Only then you will experience this. What Krishna is saying is an absolute truth. How the big men falter all the time. And they make mistake after mistake after mistake. And because based on false ego they are making the decision, there is no acceptance of Krishna's role in there. Based on their sabhavam or prarabdham or Prakriti, they are making that decision and they are losing that at the end. That's the point Krishna is making. Nobody has got a freedom. Then this Prarabdha Karmam is controlling us every moment in our life, all the time. Every second it is controlling us in all our activities. And nobody has any freedom to say, I've decided not to do it or I can't do it. There's no freedom for doing that. That's why Krishna said it is foolishness. Then if you try to escape from that, I'm not going to fight this battle, I'm going to fight this battle, then because your prarabdham won't allow you. Because I see that this prarabdham is already in you to fight this battle. Krishna has already seen that. That's why he was so confident to say that to Arjuna. Therefore, give up this foolish, false ego and surrender to material nature. Krishna says to him, surrender to material nature. That is the easiest way to escape from material existence. You don't have to say, I will do it or I won't do it. Neither way you have to make that statement. You have to do whatever you have to do at the right moment. That's all. That's how Krishna says to Arjuna, you have to do whatever you have to do at the right moment. You don't have to think, I'm engaged by Krishna's arrangement is this, that I have to fight, my vasana is like this, I have to execute that duty. In that way, it has to be done. So, through all these things, Krishna is saying here, that you can see, each of these verses is like banging the last nail on the coffin. Yeah, on the coffin. You know, when a person dies and he's put into the coffin, and you will see when they close the lid and finally before it goes for the burial, the the nails, depending on the type of coffin they have used, if it's an expensive coffin with some expensive nails also will come along with it. And these nails will be very, it's done very artistic way. Not ordinary nails like the what we use in the construction. But some of those nails are very fine, well done. So that at least the last journey, let that be a glorious journey. So when they bang all these nails, as we say, on the coffin, is the last one, isn't it? Krishna is banging the last ones on Arjuna's false ego. That's what is happening now. That's why it's so important to know these things. And Krishna is banging on right on, spot on Arjuna's false ego. That has to go from him before he starts acting. Before he starts acting. So, therefore, these verses are important. Why it's not only Arjuna, for us also, it is equally important. Otherwise, we will not understand Bhagavad Gita. Understanding Bhagavad Gita means understanding these things. That's what the message Krishna is telling us. That Krishna is also saying here, Krishna knows very well that Arjuna is going to do this because material nature is controlling him. That when the false ego sometimes Vedavyasa has got only one thing to tell us actually. This is what Vedavyasa is telling us. Through this Bhagavad Gita and all, these messages he wants us to get into our head. Because we don't know these things, you see. We don't know these things. We, day after day, we are thinking and we are confirming to ourselves that this is what we are, that we made the decision. And Vedavyasa is trying to open up and make us realize that you're not making any decision. Your nature is making the decision. So therefore, it says here that any decision what you make is also going to collapse because of this. Going to collapse because of this. Sometimes people make decisions, very strange decisions they make. Like just like when you have to resign a job, it's a major decision in life, isn't it? When you have to resign from a job. And often you will notice that decision is particularly made because not purely based on this understanding. That if this is what is going to happen, on that basis it's not made. It's based on false ego. Sometimes, particularly in such situations, when crisis like that comes. Divorce, when divorce happens in married life. Both sides make decisions. I made this decision, she has made that decision. Both very competent to make decisions. Both are thinking. Man is thinking, oh, I made the right decision. Then he'll go and tell everybody, I made the right decision. And she goes and tells everyone, I also made the right decision. But only thing they couldn't live together, that was the right decision they made. So this is, what is this decision means? What does it all mean? So the so-called decision making, even here, we have to understand what Krishna says. Not all the modern institutes, what this. There's no meaning in all that. Because Krishna knows what is working behind us, our nature. So bhavam, Krishna says, what is working behind us? Krishna knows. And that swabhavam won't allow you to act in anything different way. You don't take that into your consideration while making the decision. That there is a swabhavam behind me. My nature is like this, full of rajogunam and tamogunam and nothing else. And I'm making big, big decisions, thinking that I made the right decision. And I tell the whole world that I made the right decision. What does it mean? So that is why Krishna is saying to Arjuna also, based on these factors, your decision has no meaning. But you can make the decision another time. That comes later when Krishna says to him. That, so therefore, before making decisions, Bhagavad Gita should be in the frame. Bhagavad Gita should be in the frame. In the all the great personalities who have commented on Bhagavad Gita have spoken this one word, that one should bathe in Bhagavad Gita every day his intelligence. He should bathe his intelligence in Bhagavad Gita. If you look into the Bhagavad Gita Mahalmyam, Bhagavad Gita has got Mahalmyam. Like Srimad Bhagavatam has got a Mahalmyam. Bhagavad Gita also has got a Mahalmyam. It is in the Varaha Puranam, I think, that Mahalmyam is mentioned. And there is a verse there, Mala Nirmojanam Pumsam Jalasnanam Dine Dine. Mala Nirmojanam Pumsam Jalasnanam Dine Dine. Just like we bathe every day our body, we bathe in water to purify this. Similarly, Sakal Gidambhasi Snanam Samsara Malamojanam. Samsara Malamojanam means this material disease, what we have. This is a materialistic consciousness. It's a disease, isn't it? It's a disease. This materialistic consciousness is a disease. Because that disease is what is making us to do different things in a selfish way. That samsara malamojanam. That samsara malam means material existence is considered to be like the filth that has affected our consciousness. So in order to clean that, Krishna says here, sagal gidambhasi snanam. Every day one should bathe in Bhagavad Gita. One should bathe in Bhagavad Gita. By constantly reading Bhagavad Gita and reflecting on these things, one will act properly in this world. Otherwise it's not possible. Otherwise, it's not possible. How important is this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita is? That's why it is pointed out here. That in order that this false ego to go from one, one has to constantly read Bhagavad Gita, what Krishna has told Arjuna, and bring that understanding into our own life. That's where it is much more important. So in this way, Krishna has told Arjuna what he has to say. Krishna has told Arjuna what he has to say. And in this particular verse, Krishna is again said, Yad ahangaram ashritya nayolsam idimanyase mithyesha vyavasayaste pragrdistvam niyokshari. Pragrdistvam niyokshari. Pragrdi will engage you. You don't have to worry about it, he says. Pragrdistvam niyokshari. In fact, this is why it is said, Bhagavad Gita kinchidadhida. At least study a little bit of Bhagavad Gita every day. Krishna, it is spoken in the Vajagovindam prayers. Bhagavad Gita kinchidadhida. Ganga jalamavi kaniga pida. Even a drop of Ganga jalam will save a person if one has that faith in Ganga's potency. But at least Bhagavad Gita should be studied, a little bit of Bhagavad Gita. Ganga Bhagavad Gita kinchidadhida. One must study, because these are the words from the Supreme Personality of Godhead to this whole world to understand ourselves. He is not talking about some rituals and religion in that way. He is not bothered about it. Why should he? After all, Krishna's goal is to help us to get out of this material existence. In order to do that, he has given this transcendental knowledge through Bhagavad Gita. So, Krishna says here, Vedavyasa Maharshi spoke to us through these verses, these important points. Now, after saying this, in the very next verse, Krishna is talking something again. He's not satisfied with this one verse. Having told about false ego, Krishna wants to repeat that in another way. What does he say? Subhava jena kaundheya nibhadasvena karmana kartam nechasi en mohal karishyasi avashovidal. Krishna says that already Krishna said due to prarabdham karmam, one is completely bound by that. Without knowing that, everyone is saying that I have done this, I have done that, and I will do this in the future out of false ego. Then they will go and act exactly opposite to that. They will say like this, I'll do this in the future, and then something happens inside the head, then he'll go and do this opposite to that. He'll do like that. Not one jiva is free in this material world to do what he wants to do. What he says he will do. Not what he wants to do, what he says he will do. Not one living entity is free to do that. And everyone is controlled by his prarabdha karma. Not only that, nobody has any freedom also. And the best, most intelligent thing is to know this and surrender to material nature and to live peacefully with that. Rather than challenging it all the time. So through these verses, Krishna says to Arjuna, Sobhava jena kaundaya nibhadda svena karmanaha. Arjuna, this Sobhavam, your Sobhavam in you, I know what it is. Sobhava jena kaundaya nibhadda svena karmana. And kartum ne ichasi yen mohal, but out of illusion, if you decide that you will not do it, what does Krishna says? Karishyasi avashobidal. You will do it helplessly. You are going to go and do it, he says. Just see how much Krishna knows about us. He says, even if you decide that out of my intelligence, whatever it is, I made the decision not to do it, subhavajena kaundeya and nibhadda svena karmana, that I try to free myself from this karma, Krishna says, kartum na ichasi, you don't want to do that, and mohal, out of illusion, karishyasi avashopital. Karishyasi avashopital. Here, Krishna also wants to tell us the powerful Maya. Powerful Maya, which is material nature. Maya is nothing but the material nature, which Krishna says that is the one that is forcing us to, is controlling us at all levels, isn't it? So when one is not free from that, what meaning has it got? That's what Krishna is asking here. What meaning has it got? That now, one may wonder why Krishna asked this, said like this at this point. Why did he say like this at this point? It is almost now the end of Bhagavad Gita. Almost 18 chapters is coming to an end. Even then, Krishna knows that this thing called Subhavam is very powerful. That's why he is repeating it again. This is the reason. Because he knows, Krishna knows very well that in spite of talking all these things to Arjuna, still he is not convinced. He may still find it hesitating to act. Therefore, he has to say that the nature of human mind is like that. Nature of the human mind is like that. We have seen this before. Sobhavam comes from previous lifetime and activities, which will change all the time. Swarupam, one's own form, doesn't change, isn't it? Swarupam doesn't change. Sobhavam will always change. This is the difficulty. Swarupam never changes. Our identity as spirit soul is always spirit soul. It doesn't change. It doesn't go through any changes. But Sobhavam, our nature, is always changing. Today we have one nature and one decision we will make. Tomorrow we will have another nature and another decision we will make based on the nature at that time. We don't make consistently same decision. Then we will say, oh, I made the decision because the circumstances have changed. I'll find a reason. And we actually, all these decisions are made in ignorance. That's what Krishna is saying. All your so-called decisions are made in ignorance. So-called decisions, because it's based on false ego, therefore Krishna considers them all as not proper decisions. So that's why he's saying here, so bhava jena kaundeya nibhadda svena karmana kartum nechasi yan mohal karishyasi avashobital. Now, as I said before, because of ignorance, you are doing all these things. So by now, Arjuna is thinking. You can see, Krishna is shaking Arjuna at this time. with words, very powerful words. First he told him that if you think you are independent, your false ego won't allow you to make independent decisions. If you make decisions based on your false ego, you'll be gone. You'll be lost. And if you think that you're not going to fight because of your false ego tells you, then you're not going to stay quiet. Your prakriti will push you to do it. Nature will push you to do it. I have no doubts about that, Krishna says. And then in the next verse, Krishna says, your swabhavam will decide how you're going to act. How you are going to act. Just see how much freedom we have. Our so-called freedom in this world is like that. If these words from Krishna to Arjuna, if this is any indication, we should also understand it, that this is the freedom what Krishna has given to us. Freedom what Krishna has given to us. Right from the day we have developed our mind and capacity to work, right till the moment we have to leave this world, is not all our activities based on this understanding, that ahankaram, that is what has kept it going all these years, nothing else. There was not much done based on the understanding what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, because we didn't care to read Bhagavad Gita or to accept what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. Our understanding is this, that we have to act in this way independently from Krishna, and we make decisions on that basis. At no point in time we have accepted Krishna's authority in anything. And because of that, because of all these things, that Krishna has to repeat it again and again, like he did with Arjuna, to us also, that this understanding is the preliminary understanding before understanding Krishna. Before understanding Krishna. When we do not understand these things, our understanding of Krishna is also very limited. It will be simply centered around the deity. So, because of that, Krishna has repeated this again, knowing very well our mind, how it resists to accept Krishna's authority in us. We are constantly fighting against it. We don't want to accept Krishna's control on us. We want to fight against that. Therefore, Krishna also has to keep repeating this point to us again. In the Srimad Bhagavatam also, the same thing, point is stressed again and again. So after this verse, what Krishna has spoken, that Krishna has spoken to Arjuna, in one verse, Krishna is going to say this in a a person who has understood this, what will happen to him, and how he will react to that situation. That is the next verse. Ishvara sarva bhudanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtadi brahmayan sarva bhuvani yandra arudhani mayaya. Why Vedavyas has to repeat all these things again and again? Because he knows this is the problem. He knows that this is our nature. We won't accept it. We will read Bhagavad Gita again and again, but we won't accept it. Therefore, he has to repeat it again. Ishvara sarva bhudanam hriddeshe arjuna tishtadi brahmayan sarva bhudani yandrarudhani mayaya. Very, very famous verse in the Bhagavad Gita. This 61 verse. Krishna says there, just like, you know, the puppet show, in the how the man who plays the puppets, he runs his show, puppet show, how he controls the puppets with the string. Exactly the same way, Krishna is controlling all these puppets in the same way. There is not much difference. That's what Krishna wants us to tell us. Ishvara sarva bhudanam, not one person or two persons. No, sarva bhudanam, all living entities in this world, Krishna says, Ishvara, I am the controller. Ishvara sarva bhudanam and hriddeshe arjuna tishtadi, and I am present there within them, in every one of us. Arjuna tishtadi, I am seated there. If you think that I am talking to you in this battlefield of Kurukshetram and you are not able to accept me, then try to understand this, he says. You see, Krishna is saying to Arjuna, within you also I am sitting there as Paramatma. Is this super soul, isn't it? So Ishvara Sarvabhudanam Hriddeshe Arjuna Tishtadi. I am sitting there, and what am I doing? Brahmayan Sarvabhudani. All the living entities are made to do something or the other in this world. Brahmayan. They are rotating in this material world. Yantra Rudhani Maya. Just like you know this big cogwheel, I think that's what's called, this huge giant wheel, which you can see near the London Bridge. That big one, BTs, or somebody has put it on there. You sit on the top one time, it comes and comes to the bottom, goes up again, comes down again. What is the freedom he has got? As long as the wheel is rotating, he has to rotate with the wheel. He has no freedom, has he? It's exactly like that. The soul is changing this body and going through this 8.4 million different bodies. And he is rotating in this world, in this material world. Krishna is saying to us, what freedom have you got? He's asking us this question. What freedom have you got? And you are talking big, big things to me that you will make this decision tomorrow and you will do what you want. Okay, go on doing it, but you are within the wheel. You are not out of it. Sometimes you are on the top of the wheel, sometimes you are on the bottom of the wheel. So this is that understanding is from there. That's why Krishna is saying, Ishvara Sarvabhudanam Hriddeshe Arjuna Tishtadi Brahmayan Sarvabhudani Yantra Rudhani Maya. Just like a yantram is used, yantram is played all the time. Yantra Rudhani Maya. Maya is revolving this wheel of material existence for us. And caught up in that, we are making big, big statements. Big, big statements. So Krishna wants us to understand this position of us in this world and come to some... So anybody who wants to progress in spiritual life, there is no point in fighting with Maya. That wouldn't help. If you fight with Maya, you will lose the battle. There is no question about that. The best thing is to surrender quietly and live peacefully, accepting that this is my situation. I have to be... One should take Krishna's shelter and try to himself save from Maya's effect. There is no other way you can, thinking that I don't need Krishna, I'll fight against Maya, I'm very powerful. If one starts that attitude, then the very next moment he will get victimized by Maya. All of us know that, isn't it? How it is, like fighting Maya means. That's why in Bhagavad Gita, you will notice earlier also Krishna said the same thing. Devikesha gunamai mama maya durateya. It's not possible to fight Maya. It's not possible to fight Maya. But Krishna says, if he is surrendering to me, then he can free himself from Maya. Maya won't disturb him. That's all. Otherwise, it's Maya everywhere, in every stage of life. So, through this way, Krishna has talked about this. Ishvara Sarvabhudanam, Hrideshe Arjuna Tishtadi, Brahmayan Sarvabhudani, Indrarudhani, Mayaya. So, just like Krishna says here, that situated within the heart as the super soul, he is controlling all of us through the string, just like a man who runs a puppet show. He is controlling us. And the puppets have no freedom to do anything what they want. They are completely dependent on the string, how it's pulled by the by the person who runs the show. And similarly, we are also pulled by what? Pulled by our karma. Pulled by our karma. And that karma is pulling us this way, karma is pulling us that way. And we have no freedom in that. That's what Krishna wants to tell us. Because we don't know this string called karma. We don't know that string called karma. We are always thinking that I have the independence to do what I want. And I start making decisions on that basis. That's where all the difficulties come. Now, this karma we discussed before, how it follows us. Exactly like in the Upanishads it said, like among the hundreds of cows that's moving, just like a calf is able to identify its own mother from the hundreds of cows that's going. Similarly, exactly the same way, our own karma will follow us and catch us at the right moment when it's necessary, when it's the right time. It is so precise, this situation is. It is set up like that. Nobody has any freedom to go outside that. That's the point. Now, after saying that, in this particular verse, the Krishna has also, this is exactly the same message in the Lord Ramachandra says also the same thing to Lakshmana. In the Ramayanam you can read this. Ramayanam you can read this. There is a statement like that. The statement is like this, that he says Ramachandra is much more serious about these things. It's not like Krishna. In Ramachandra's life, if you go through in Ramayanam as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when coming to Ramachandra's life, you will see how serious personality he was. And Ramachandra says there that having got a human form of life, if he does not use that life for self-realization, if he does not use this life for self-realization, he is like a person who is lying down on a mattress inside a house which is on fire. That's how he has put it. A house is on fire and he is thinking, let me sleep comfortably on my mattress, and he has put his mattress there and is sleeping comfortably in there. So Ramachandra says there that a person who has not taken to self-realization in this human body, he is exactly like that person. Yoga Vasishtam. There Ramachandra says this. So from this you can see how much importance Krishna, Ramachandra, they all have given to self-realization. Because the value of human life is so high, that if it is not utilized for that purpose and to advance in Krishna consciousness, you have lost another life in this world and many more lives to follow. That's why Krishna has spoken in this way. Then in the next verse, Krishna again, instead of saying, there is a trick here in the next verse. If you read the verses, you will see there is a very tricky way of saying things. Up to this point, Krishna talked about himself, isn't it? Krishna talked about himself. All the verses, Krishna was saying to Arjuna that, listen to me, I'm telling you this is why, this is that. Now, Krishna says to Arjuna that, not referring to himself at this point, he says, there is somebody inside you, consult with him. That's how he puts it. You see, he has withdrawn himself. Otherwise, he could have said, Maam Eva. No, Maam has come out of that. In his own words, he says, the next words, if you read, Tvam Eva Sharanam Gacha Sarva Bhavena Bharadam Maltal Prasadal Param Shandim Stanam Prapsisi Shashvadam. Krishna says, Tvam Eva Sharanam Gacha, surrender unto him. Under to whom? That who is inside you. Who is that? That super soul. Krishna knows he is there inside, he is there outside. From outside I have spoken so much now. You are not willing to listen. Now you at least speak to the person who is inside. That is the next thing what Krishna did. So Krishna more or less played a different way, put it to him. Tameva sharanam gacha sarvabhavena bharada. By all means surrender unto him if you don't want to surrender to me. In other words, Krishna says, if you don't want to surrender to me as Krishna, surrender unto the Paramatma who is inside you, who is not different from me. Just see, Tamaya Sarvabhavena Bharata, Tal Prasadal Param Shandim Stanam Prapsasi Shashvadam. And if you do it properly by consulting him, and you will have that peace and you will attain that final destination, what you are looking for. Then Krishna kept out of it himself now. In this verse, Krishna has kept himself outside. He actually says, you can consult him and then make your decision. He says, Tameva Sharanam Gacha. He didn't say, discuss with me, he says. Because he has discussed enough now, told everything he has to say. Still, if you are not convinced, discuss with him and see what answer you get from there. So, Tameva Sharanam Gacha Sarvabhavena Bharata Tal Prasadal Param Shandim Sthanam Prapsyasi Shashvadam. Although Krishna is the super soul also, Krishna is not telling him to surrender to him, Supreme Personality of Godhead. Rather he says, consult Paramatma, the super soul, and come to a decision. So from inside, outside, Krishna is trying to help Arjuna to cut out of this illusion. So people may say this question, that if it is all so difficult after hearing 18 days Bhagavad Gita, if Arjuna's condition is like this, what about us? This will be the most And I'm sure that all people, because many people were thinking that if I hear 18 chapters of Bhagavad Gita, I've heard everything what I say, everything will be all right now. This is what most of the people are thinking. I know how people think about these things. Because while talking to people, you get this understanding also, isn't it? People are thinking that I've heard the whole of Bhagavad Gita for last 3-4 years, we're hearing this. We started in October 2004, we started. So at least last 2.5 years, more or less, we were hearing Bhagavad Gita. Now that I've heard 18 chapters, everything must have happened, changed now. Actually, the problem is only starting now. Up to now, we were hearing. But all that what we heard has to change us. Otherwise, what hearing? What does it mean? Doesn't mean anything. So that is why the problem is only starting now. Up to now, we were hearing what Krishna has to say. Now, all that what we have heard so far, what Krishna has spoken, if that goes into us, then all this hearing has become somewhat useful. Otherwise, if it was Krishna, you know how Krishna puts that? Shramastasya shramabhalam. That is the word he has used in the Bhagavatam. He told Uddhava like this. Uddhava, all this I am saying doesn't require a lot of talk. It's not necessary. But if you have not understood it, what is the benefit from all these things, hearing this? The answer will be shramastasya shramabhalam. That means whatever you have effort you have put into this, by spending so many hours listening to it, that itself is the profit. There's no other profit from that. This is what Krishna has said to Arjuna, Uddhava. You see? That so many hours I sat in Bhaktivedanta manner, listening to Bhagavad Gita, that's all it is. There's nothing else gained from that. Shramastasi shramabhalam. Shramastasi shramabhalam. That's what he says. So no other profit from that. So Bhagavad Gita, up to this point, whatever we have heard from Bhagavad Gita, if we are not reflecting on it, and if we are not changing our own life based on this and our understanding, and on a daily basis, if we are not bathing in Bhagavad Gita, as that they say, the great personalities say like that, they have to bathe their intellect in Bhagavad Gita. If you are not doing that, what will happen? I know what will happen. What will happen? The same shojadi kangshadi, the same thing will continue. Day after day in their life, same lamentation, same hankering, same miseries of material life. This is what will follow us. But these things will only go when this knowledge of Bhagavad Gita starts working. And we learn, and using that understanding from Krishna into our own life. Otherwise it's not going to have any effect. It will just remain in the book. What is the use? So that's what Krishna is pointing out here in these verses. Before concluding, he has to say that tameva sharanam gacha. Now, in order for us to understand, our position is not much different than Arjuna in these things. You have to remember, we are also going through the same crisis like Arjuna went through in his life. Not that it is kept there for us to read, oh, Arjuna did all these things, did he? Oh, Krishna told Arjuna all these things and Arjuna changed himself and he fought the war. Now, what I've got to do with it? This will be the first question we will ask. What I've got to do with it? I heard Bhagavad Gita and then it will become a ritual. It will become a ritual. It won't have any effect. That it has just heard Krishna's words, that's all. But Krishna does not want us to leave it like that. Krishna wants us to understand these very, very basic principles of Vedic philosophy, which is in the Bhagavad Gita, and to change and transform our life on this understanding. That is what Bhagavad Gita means. Bhagavad Gita means we all accept that Krishna's instructions in this and change our life. So therefore Krishna says like this. And normally people will ask this question. This is also, you can see, they'll hear, then what shall I do now? After all these things were spoken and discussed, say, what shall I do now? So how should I do it? Now what shall I do? I'll go home and tell my wife and children, now look, I don't want you to be a burden on me anymore. I'm leaving you all, I'm going to some ashram and I'm going to take shelter in the temple or in the ashram somewhere and I'm going to live there because from now on I'm very serious about spiritual life. Therefore I have no time for you all. all what we will do is we'll come to ashram and make all problems there also. That's what the end result of all these things is. That is not understanding Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita has been spoken, whether brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha or sannyasam, all stages, one should be able to execute his spiritual life in whatever position one is. Otherwise it has no meaning. If everybody has to join the movement or join the ashram and only then he can practice spiritual life, then we may as well give it up. It's not going to work. No, Krishna didn't give us a plan like that. Krishna gave us proper understanding of things first and applicable application of that knowledge into one's own life, practical application of that. That is vijnanam. So that is why Krishna took this long 18 chapters to explain Bhagavad Gita in this way. So now, after realizing that, even after saying all these things, in order to convince us, Krishna is repeating this point again. If you have not accepted me, what I have spoken so far, consult inside. I am sitting there as Paramatma, as Super Soul, and from him get the decision what you want to do in the future. So you will see there. Tameva sharanam gacha sarvabhavena bharada tal prasadal param shandim sthanam prapsasi shashvadam. That this sthanam prapsasi shashvadam, that is the beauty of that. That is the way to go back to Krishna after understanding all these things and after changing the life in that way. Now, before we finish the next verse, Krishna says something important in the next verse. All these verses are the final concluding verses of Bhagavad Gita. So let's see what Krishna says. This verse has something much more to say than what it appears like that. Idide jnanamakhyadam guhyal guhyadaram mayaha vimrshed asheshena yadhechasi tathakurum. Krishna says, idide jnanamakhyadam, I have spoken last 700 verses almost. Guhyal guhyadaram, they are extremely confidential. Krishna says, extremely confidential. Can you imagine? We are thinking, what is so confidential about it? Isn't it? We are all thinking, is there something so confidential about it? I don't think there is anything confidential, is it? No, it is confidential. Why it is confidential? It is confidential because this knowledge we have got from Bhagavad Gita is not working on us. Is not working on us. Isn't it? Because we are unable to act accordingly. You can only say that you have understood something when you are able to execute your life on that basis, on the principles which Krishna has spoken. And because we are helplessly wandering, unable to accept these principles what Krishna has spoken into our own life, it becomes still a confidential topic to us. It's a confidential topic still. Guhyal guhyadaram, Krishna says. Confidential, out of all confidential things, is the most confidential thing. Krishna says, guhyal guhyadaram. Why? Ididel jnanama khyadam. Because our mind, such a nonsense which is, will not accept Krishna's instructions. Immediately we leave this room, we will leave everything what we have spoken about. That is how we are. Is it not? No, everyone will agree with that. That it is not difficult to understand how obstinate and stubborn this mind is. The mind, Krishna is telling us that this is how it is. And we heard all that, but then we'll go and do what we want to do. Is it not? That is why Krishna says it's guhyal guhyadaram. There are people like that in this world. They will say everything, yes, 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 I'll do that. Then go and do what they want to do. So this is exactly the same thing. That is their nature of the mind. They can't do. Whenever they are told or discussed or agreed anything, they won't do it. They'll do what they want at the end. What is the use talking to such people? What will he gain from that? That's why Krishna is saying here, Ididel jnanama khyadam guhyal guhyadaram maya. Bhagavad Gita is not meant for just discussion. Bhagavad Gita is meant to change the life of the people. Those who have that problems with their mind, they have to seriously look into it and see what Krishna is saying here. Pravisheda vimarsheda asheshena yadhechasi tatha kuru. It should be only accepted after vimarshanam. Vimarshanam means that one should evaluate properly and should think himself, what is my problem? What is my problem? Vimarsheda asheshena. He should evaluate himself and see, and then make the decision. Yathechasi tatha kuru. Krishna says to Arjuna also the same thing. Evaluate yourself and see where you stand in the middle of all these things. What is your position? And then if you are convinced that what I have spoken to you makes sense to you, you can take it. If you don't like it, you can leave it. Yathechasi tatha kuru. So if we become like that, then what is the point in listening to Bhagavad Gita? If we are not willing to take Krishna's instruction seriously in Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam, because if this is not a this is not a cheap business, going back to Krishna, it is the most important business in this world, and it requires the highest attention and seriousness. And if there is no seriousness, it is just done as a ritual, we may as well close the book and do what we want. That's why Krishna's message is like that. Because in this closing verses in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is making us to be conscious of the power of this knowledge and the importance of that knowledge. Vimarshesa ashesha vimarshanam. Vimarshanam means evaluate, critically analyze it, Krishna says. Critically, he says you should study. And asheshena yathechasi tatha kuru. And then you do whatever you like. Why is this verse important? It is this particular verse is telling us what is the difference between Vedic philosophy and the other philosophies of this world. No other philosophy in this world, philosophers or leaders of other religious processes will give you this freedom. Only Krishna's Bhagavad Gita gives you this freedom. Only Krishna's Bhagavad Gita gives you this freedom. And why Krishna gives this freedom? Because Krishna knows what is the truth behind it. Only the Supreme Personality, Krishna, has got that authority to say this, because he knows no matter what happens in this world, this knowledge will stay, because those who are searching for the truth, they will end up in Bhagavad Gita. They have no other option left. They have to come to Bhagavad Gita. Because it is in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has spoken the truth so plain language. And to in a way that one who is aspiring to realize himself, searching for the absolute truth, if he wants to know, after experiencing enough distress in this world, miseries of this world, and one who has come to the conclusion that there must be a higher truth one must be inquiring about, for such a person, these words of Krishna will always satisfy his needs. He doesn't need anything else. That is why all the great authorities in the Vedic tradition, they have taken the Bhagavad Gita's authority as supreme. Bhagavad Gita's knowledge in Bhagavad Gita, we don't come up to that standard, for which you can't blame Krishna for that. We blame Bhagavad Gita saying that, oh, I did this, I did that. What Bhagavad Gita says, like Bhagavad Gita says, we start discussing Bhagavad Gita. We don't want to do anything what Bhagavad Gita says. We want to do everything what we want to do. And then we want to blame Bhagavad Gita. You don't need to consult Bhagavad Gita if you want to do yourself anything. That's what Krishna had to say to Arjuna also. Arjuna, if you want to fight the war, go and fight the war. I don't have to teach you anything. You will fight anyway, even if I... But if you have understood Bhagavad Gita, you fight the war, there is a difference there. It's a different understanding altogether. Having understood what is happening. That's what Krishna is explaining in this. So, the philosophy of Vedas, Vedic philosophy, has survived so long in this world. You have to remember that. In spite of so many conquerors coming and attacking and trying to destroy this culture of Vedic culture. So many people have tried in the past in so many ways. Every time it comes up above all that. Why is that? Because of this Krishna's instruction. Krishna has not asked you to forcing anyone to take to it. Krishna says, just tells us this is the situation. Yathechasi tatha kuru. Do what you like. I have told you the truth. And any person who has got that freedom to think and who can intellectually see things properly, he will accept Krishna's, and with his own experience based on this world, he will come to the understanding that Krishna's instructions are perfect. There is no other way to look at it. There is no other way to look at it. And Krishna is so confident about it. That is why he said, Yathechasi tada kuru, do what you like. Because if you don't act like this, you will act like that, forced by your own nature. So in order to establish this truth of Bhagavad Gita, what is spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, why Bhagavad Gita is so superior to all other literature in this world, it is because of this, that you cannot escape from this, because it is the truth, nothing but the truth. This is the reality. Every one of us, if you read Bhagavad Gita again and again, you will see what is spoken in Bhagavad Gita is something extraordinary, out of this world. And once you have convinced on that, then you will act on that because you are convinced. If you are not convinced, you can't act on it. And that's why Krishna said, yathechasi tada kuru. First try to understand. Vimarsheva. He says, vimarsheva. First evaluate yourself very critically what I have spoken. And think about it. And if you are convinced, do it. If you are not convinced, do what you like. What can Krishna say more than this? What can Krishna say more than this? That's why this verse is important. Krishna says here, Iti de jnanam akhyadam kuhyal kuhyadaram maya vimrshedad asheshena yathechasi tatha kuru. Krishna says, I have spoken to you all the very, very extremely confidential aspects of the Vedic knowledge. Nothing is left behind. And whatever one has to know, all that relates to knowledge, I have spoken to you. And you have heard everything. You are intelligent, you have got sense of discrimination. Therefore, there is no need for me to force it upon you in any way. It is completely up to you. This is the beauty of the freedom of Vedic philosophy. This is the beauty of the Vedic philosophy, freedom that is given to us. And in spite of that, as I mentioned before, so many people have tried to discredit Bhagavad Gita. So many people have tried to destroy the Vedic culture. In spite of all that, you will always find new people coming to it from somewhere from the world who are seeking the truth. They will come to Bhagavad Gita and look for the Krishna's instructions, and they find it satisfying to them. So that is, Krishna knows that is how it's going to be. It may not happen in one part of the world, it may happen somewhere else. But those who are, after searching the absolute truth for realize the self, they have, this is the greatest answer in the literature. So Krishna has spoken that. And the sages has given us this freedom. This freedom what Krishna has given in the Bhagavad Gita. All the Upanishads also you will find exactly the same way. Because the sages has given us this freedom. Sages has given us this freedom to do that. So, we have few more verses to finish. We are on 63. So we will do that in the next class. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.